Good evening, everyone. And before I go any further, please excuse the way I sound. I know that I sound really bad, but if you haven't figured out, this is Pam. And thankfully, tonight, I have two other co-hosts with me. I have David and I have Dawn. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. How are you? Feeling better,
I hope. At least you guys sound normal to me.
Well, that's good. At least we sound normal to you. Who knows? I mean, I don't know if I sound normal to myself. What about you, David?
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, it's going to be... It's going to be, what can I say, it's going to be hard and it's going to be easy doing this with my voice sounding like this. I just hope it doesn't go out because it's been going on and off throughout the day. So we'll have to see what happens. But we're very, very, very excited to have our show tonight and our tribute to Jeannie Cooper. What did you guys think of the tribute show that CBS and Young and the Restless put on?
You know, Pam, I think I'm usually not one at a loss for words, but today was breathtaking. I was just so impressed with how CBS did the tribute from start to finish. It was very personal. You know, and for me, and I'm sure you could say this, watching a lot of the cast that you and I have interviewed or you've interviewed and just seeing them being themselves, you know, talking about Jeannie Cooper and then had the opportunity, you and I, to interview her, that was very surreal for me. I was just like, wow, you know, it was so, so touching. It's probably the best way to describe that.
It was.
What about you, David? I'm sorry.
It was. It was a tearjerker. I held it in. I tried holding it in, but I held it in for a while. I cried a little. I laughed a little. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. The one thing I was surprised about was how they did it. It was more Jean talking than it was. I thought it was just going to be the cast talking, and here they had Jean talking throughout the whole interview, and I think that was phenomenal. I love how they did it. It was perfect.
Yep, absolutely.
Do you know, I was, you know, ever since they announced they were going to do the show for today, I've been pondering, how are they going to open the show? Is it going to be the whole cast? I thought the way they opened the show with Jill standing there in that spot,
I know. Last scene
with Jeannie, and her coming into the Jeannie's great room, Miss Chancellor's great room, and I was already tearing up. My mom was watching.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, are you going to get through this? I said, I honestly don't know.
And
it was so fitting. I thought it was kind of like, you know, kind of picking up where that scene left off when things, you know, when we saw her in that last scene. And then she just kind of transitioned into, you know, Jess Walton. And that was just beautifully done, I thought.
Well, I'll never be able to look at that staircase again the same.
Mm-mm.
Without
no.
Getting tears in my eyes from her saying goodbye. And now that we all are aware that she did that on her own, it was not scripted, that's so much more touching and heartfelt.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, today when the show was closing and they were playing that scene, and then, of course, they had Jess there at the end saying what she did, and I just lost it. I mean, I've seen the scene how many times since it aired, you know, since she passed away, and the realization has been that was her last scene. But it did not hit me in a way like it did today. It was just so much more moving. And I think, you know, like I said earlier, having interviewed her and, you know, and everything that the cast was saying about her and how she made you feel like you were the only person in the world to her, I mean, that is exactly how she was with us, Pam. And it was just so personal for me and for the fans out there, the fans who have met her, the fans who have received an autograph from her. I mean, you know, that have watched her day in, day out. It was just so personal. And I'm just so grateful that not only did I have the opportunity to interview her, but that I got to do that with you. It was just it was something I will never forget as long as I live.
I know. And when Eric broke down, Eric Braden broke down. Oh, my gosh. That was, like, it for me.
Well, and you know, the grand irony about that moment, you know, we were seeing the cast as themselves, you know, being themselves, and they were totally out of character. And, you know, it's just funny. You rarely, if ever, have seen Victor Newman, per se, cry on The Young and the Restless.
Right.
And to see Eric in such a real human
vulnerable
way today, you know, and vulnerable and just pouring his heart out. I mean, that is just something you'd never see Victor Newman do. I mean, in the face of tragedy, he would still be this stoic, rigid, you know, we're going to get through this kind of character. And Eric Braden, it is proved today, he just plays the character, you know, as they all do. Mm-hmm. And, but it was, you know, I was telling my mom that there has not been another network anywhere when we've lost another veteran soap actor or actress that has done this. And they have, CBS definitely set a precedent today that, and they set the bar very high with what they've done for Jeannie Cooper, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you know,
they did.
They're having one for John Engel on General Hospital. I'm not sure exactly when that's going to be. Do you, David?
They are? Oh.
I saw something about that. I could be wrong, but
I
swear I read that they were going to do something.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, you know, most people just get the end of an episode. You know, this is in memory of. So this was phenomenal what they did for her. She was truly loved by everybody within the industry and outside the industry.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And, you know, and I agree with you, Pam. I love that they put all the clips of her speaking and her words, you know, and just being able to get her being a part, you know, they included her. It wasn't just a tribute. It was all about Jeannie in a way that they encompassed her, you know, and I thought that was just so beautifully done.
I couldn't agree more. And, David, you'll have to talk with Dawn while I get my first guest ready, okay?
Okay.
Sure thing. Sure thing.
All right.
Sure thing.
So, you know, while we're kind of getting rolling here, David, I guess you and I should talk about, you know, one of our favorite scenes or memories of Jeannie being Mrs. Chancellor on Weiner. I mean, I've been thinking about that a lot since she passed, and it's really hard to pin down one scene or one storyline with her because she was such a, you know, she was the glue that held the entire cast together, and she was
tied to
so many storylines. How do you, you know, I think hands down, a lot of people would agree that the interaction between she and Jess Walton and all the many scenes that, you know, they were the super couple, the power couple in daytime, in my opinion.
They were.
You know, just their interactions, and I just thought today the way they opened the show with Jess, you know, opening the show on behalf of Weiner, I thought that was incredibly fitting.
Very touching,
mm-hmm.
very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could top this.
No. I think it would be very hard. And I think Jeannie was certainly there today, or when that was filmed, she was definitely in the presence of her spirit was there, and you know, it was just amazing to me how the cast, you know, number one, held it together as they were speaking about her, you know, and all the fond memories
mm-hmm.
and the things that they said. It was just all very touching.
All very. So when was your first time watching Young and the Restless? Well, do you remember her first scene?
I do not remember her first scene. I remember I was in probably 8th grade, 9th grade when I started watching, when I got involved in watching the soaps. And it was during the summers because, you know, I was in school the rest of the time. And I just remember watching it every day. And the earliest scenes was just probably at the tail end of the original Jill Abbott. I can't think of her name. Oh, Brenda.
Brenda.
when she was on there, at the very tail end of her being on the show, and then Jess Walton coming along, and that's when I really started watching Y&R, and you know, and getting to know the characters. But I just always remember from day one that that dynamic between Jess and Jeannie was just so incredibly done. I mean, you could tell it was outside of the bounds of sheer acting, that they really pulled it off. They made it believable from the word go. And, I mean, you know, I think soap opera fans oftentimes, you get lost in the storylines to the point that the characters are real to us. And you know, in that instance, Jill and Catherine were real to us. You know, you believe that in real life and in some respects, yep, that Jeannie and Jess may have some antagonism, which was never the case. But that's how believable it was, and that's how it came off.
Was.
You know, it's just unreal how that happened. But I was just so blown away by today and everything that, you know, the cast had to say. It was just so, I thought, incredibly honorable. You know, every single one of them recognized the impact that Jeannie Cooper had on, you know, not only the cast and crew of Y&R, but the fans, you know, worldwide, who came to know and love her. And, you know, to hear the cast members talk about going to fan events and being asked, you know, about her, questions about her when they're in the midst of signing autographs, you know, how's Jeannie Cooper, what's Jeannie Cooper like, you know, getting the never-ending stream of questions about her, I thought was just a real testament to the person that she was, you know.
She was a television icon. She's,
mm-hmm.
Oh my, I think I loved her the first time I saw her on. It was magic. It was back in, I started watching in 78.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the time that she had died. Oh, hold on.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Okay. I think Pam was dialing and she didn't realize she had it live. So hopefully that was the right call. But needless to say, I have to kind of back up, because the era when I started watching was when Brock and Mac and, you know, the Fosters and the Brooks were such, you know, dominant families on Y&R.
Right.
And that whole era. And, you know, and then they introduced, you know, Cricket and Danny and Nina and Ryan. And, oh, it just goes on and on. And then it grew from there. And you know, Y&R is just one of those soaps that really, as the years and the decades have unfolded, we've grown along with the characters. We've watched the characters grow up. We've watched the storylines evolve. The families have evolved. And the way they've always, you know, it's easy to understand why they've been the number one rated daytime drama for so long, year after year after year, just simply because of the mere fact that how they, you know, introduced the respective families from Genoa City to the audience.
Yeah.
And how the audience just came to know and love those families as if they were our neighbors or something, you know, living down the street. I know a lot of folks do that, but there was just something magical about it. And I have to believe that the reason why it was, Y&R has been so popular and has been so, you know, front and center for so long is because of Jeannie Cooper, because of what she brought to the soap and what she did to, you know, for the character of Catherine Chancellor, and how all the other characters that she interacted with on the show, her character interacted with, just made the show what it is. Just like you said, iconic. It's timeless.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, I mean, no one lives forever, and we know this, and it's just going to be real interesting how the dynamic of Y&R is going to change, because there's no way it couldn't change. I mean, you know, we've lost Jeannie Cooper. Now we've learned since then that, you know, Michelle Stafford's not renewing her contract. She's leaving Y&R. that's two huge blows to Y&R. I mean, love or hate Michelle Stafford's character,
yeah.
Phyllis. No one hates Michelle Stafford, but her character, you know, you got people that love her, you got people that hate the character. And some are kind of on the fence. But in the grand scheme of things, it is, you know, it's one of those things that it's going to be real interesting to see what happens moving forward. And I was very glad that Jess mentioned right out there at the very beginning of the show today that, you know,
that
how
they
were going to write that into the story will be addressed in due time. So, you know,
yep. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I have our first guest here, so we're ready to go.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So
Hi. We welcome
Kate Linder. Say hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello, Kate.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are all of you?
Great.
We're doing fine. Thank you for asking.
Good. They were just talking about the tribute show as well and how well it was put together and how nice it was to see everybody sitting there talking about their memories about Gene and how Gene was actually part of the tribute.
Yeah, I thought it was, I'm extremely proud of our show anyway, but nothing made me prouder than today's show because it was just so beautifully done. I thought it was beautiful, classy, and poignant, and that is just like Jeannie, just like her. So it was so fitting, and it's really hard for me to believe. I still can't believe she's gone. So I really, really miss her.
Oh yeah, as we all do. It's
you do.
I have to say, Kate, what you guys did in that tribute was like nothing I have ever seen before. I mean, I've been to tons of funerals in my lifetime and been to memorials and tributes for people I've known personally, but that to me was just so eloquent and so well done. And it was nice, the other element to all this was it was nice seeing you guys being who you are, you know, out of character. You know, unfortunately the circumstances, you know, brought that about, but it was really nice to see you guys sitting there just having a chat in the C's, you know, living room, great room, and just talking, you know, like friends would about a friend's loss. It was amazing.
Yeah, I so agree with you. I, you know, of course, you know, when they just kept shooting, we didn't know how it was going to be put together. And then when I saw it today, it was just so beautifully done. And I know there's a lot more they shot that I believe they're putting on the website. I don't know if it's on there yet or.
Not yet. Pardon? Not yet. I saw the first hour, the one that was aired today, but I hadn't. Anything else yet?
Well, they're probably going to add that because I know that they were talking about, because there's a lot of footage. You know, we did this for, you know, several hours, and, of course, they couldn't put all that in 1 hour. There's a lot we talked about that's not in there. So I think that's what they were going to do. But I thought they did an amazing job. I thought it was really, really good.
It was great. And did you guys, after this was filmed and it was edited, you know, did you guys today or prior to today as a cast, you know, come together and view it together for the first time?
No.
Really?
No. We hadn't seen it. This was the first, well, I had not anyway, seen it before today when it aired. So I've watched it about 5 times already. But,
yeah.
You know, it's hard to, I keep watch something, you know, it's hard to watch and then it's hard not to watch, if you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just really interesting to be in that set, in that living room where I've spent 31 years of my life with her, you know, with Jeannie in that room.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like she was there. She would have totally loved that. You know, she would have loved the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was very much Jeannie. I mean, you could tell every aspect of today was exactly as mm-hmm. she would have wanted it, I do believe. And, you know, and it just, I think as much footage as you guys took for this special, I think if you'd aired it all week on YNR, there wouldn't have been a YNR fan out there that would have been mad about that. We would have loved
right.
You
know what? I agree
first,
with you. That's interesting.
The week, you know?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think that's really interesting. I think you're right. That could have, there would have been, there's so much to say. But you know, but how they did it, too, was just, you know, sometimes less is more as well.
Right.
And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could go on and on, and I could listen to everyone and see it over and over. But, you know, I think they did a really good job. And I'm almost positive that there will be, the rest of that will be shown online. You'll be able to find it eventually.
Now, what Michelle was sitting there with all that jewelry on her knee, was that Jamie's?
Yeah.
From her?
Yeah,
oh.
That was, you know, some of the jewelry that she wore on the show. So, yeah.
Oh.
And it's just, oh, boy, yeah. It was, you know, it was, and, like, there was a thing that, you know, like the teapot was there. I mean, just everything that was, you
yeah.
know, part of Jeannie and part of the show, and it was all there, and we were all there, it was really an amazing. I mean, I you know was really trying to keep it together. I was able to keep it together on camera. People were, you know, breaking down off camera. You know,
mm-hmm.
things you
oh,
didn't
yes.
see, because you know it was a tribute to her and tribute. You know, you just want it to be, you know, understood and strong and together, and yet, you know, you saw how, you could tell how people felt and
mm-hmm.
the love that everyone has for her. And she and I had a special relationship. You know, it's really hard to describe it in words, because it's like we knew what each other was thinking. You know, she would just look at me when we were in a scene, she would just look at me a certain way, and I just think we had that bond that's really hard to explain.
Right,
and
right.
I think it came across, you know, in context of the show. I mean, Esther and Mrs. Chancellor had an incredible relationship. So
yeah,
go
ahead, Pam. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to share with you, Kate, that before you came on the line, I was talking to David, and I was saying, you know, that YNR, I think, one of the magical beauties of YNR is that through the years, you know, YNR has always had these families that we've grown to love, we've grown to know, and families that have evolved. And you know, the whole Esther vs. C relationship is one of those examples, you know, how you kind of started out as, you know, your character was kind of this meek and mild, easily intimidated by Mrs. C, and then, you know, your
yeah.
character through the years has just evolved into this very
yes.
strong, you know, very determined character, and we've watched, you know, your character grow as well, which has been really nice, and to see how that dynamic between you and Jeannie, you know, grew along with your characters.
You know, you are so right, I so appreciate that you brought that up, and that you're able to see that as well, and that came across, because I feel that too, and that as we grew, you know, ourselves as people, and then and the characters grew as well. So they went hand in hand, and it's really something then to see and to look over there and see Liz, who's playing my daughter, you know, to see
mm-hmm.
her in the mix, and you know, and then of course, and Jill and Esther have that relationship as well, which, and like I said in the tribute, you know, one of Esther's things was to make sure that, you know, she would protect Mrs. C at all costs from everyone, and that includes Jill. So,
right.
hopefully Esther will still, you know, remain focused in that way, you know.
Well,
yeah,
what do you think?
Pardon?
I'm sorry, Pam. I'm trying to preserve your voice.
Okay.
I don't realize you're going to talk. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. It's okay. What do you, out of all, I know 31 years is a lot, but what would you say were your most memorable scenes or your most happiest memory of being with her on set?
Well, I
either
mean,
behind
the
or in front?
Well, the scenes that they show, you know, as far as giving birth, those scenes were
yeah.
unbelievable. But there were in the kidnapping scenes, you know, twice, when we were kidnapped twice. And also when I think one of my very favorites, too, was when, you know, Esther answered that ad in the Singles Magazine.
Yes.
And lied and said she was the lady of the house, and then Mrs. Chancellor and Mr. Sterling at the time had to play the maid and the butler, and those were great moments and great things to play. I mean, there's magic moments in the theater, and working with Jeannie, were magic moments. Those things just happened. When we worked our scenes, we ran our lines, we rehearsed them, and yet when we went to tape, sometimes things came up that were magic. Like when she called me Esther, that wasn't in the script. She named me. And that
really?
Was not
I
in
didn't
the script.
Really...
Yeah, she...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she... in the beginning, I didn't have a name, and the scripts would come down and it would just say maid. It didn't say. And one day we were running our lines, as usual. Then we went to tape. She started calling me Esther, and fortunately I responded and didn't go, what? Who? So she started calling me that. And then, other people started calling me that. Then the writers started writing it. And that's how Esther got her name. And as far as the last name, Valentine, Bell, we had a national contest for the last name, and Valentine was picked as one of the names. There was a couple other names as well, and he gave me a choice. He came to me with these names. It was, Esther Valentine, and then one other name was Diamond, and then was another name, too, which I can't remember what that was. But I picked Valentine because I thought it fit the character, and also I thought it would be good luck because I was married in real life on Valentine's Day. And so that's how, so Esther Valentine, and it was good luck. And the fact that Jeannie, this is interesting too. I mean, Jeannie named her Esther, but Esther was my grandmother's name. And
oh, my gosh.
She did not know that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and at that point, she did after, but... not then. She did not know that.
Well, and that's such a neat story that you just shared, because all these years, I think a lot of YNR fans, myself included, would attest that we never knew that you initially didn't have a name. Your character didn't have a name. Could you imagine being on the show 31 years and not having a name?
Oh. Yeah, I know.
Thank God Jeannie decided one day just to take it upon herself to name your character. I mean, it grew from there. And I love the fact that Valentine was your character's last name, because, Esther has always been the eternal optimist. She's been, the one that just believes in love, and true love, and it just fit, like you said, it fit the character so perfectly well.
Yeah, absolutely. It really, really does. And so, and I know that Jeannie, would want it. She loved this show. She loved all of you. She loved the fans. She loved everyone. And she, she definitely will want this show to go forward and be bigger and better. But yet she will always be a part of it. Somehow she will be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just know that in my heart that she will be.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they have planned, but...
Yeah.
What they're going to do or what they have planned, but I know it will be good. Whatever it is, I don't know at this point. But I know they're figuring that out and putting that all together, and they're written ahead. Like on the tribute, I think Jess announces that in the beginning that, in the next few months, that will come up. I have no idea what it's going to be, but I'm as anxious as everybody else to know what that is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I think so many fans have said, and I think I speak for many when I say this, that, we definitely want, the character of Mrs. Chancellor to be put to rest along with Jeannie, only because, I think that's the only way it can be. And
no, you can't.
you know, no one could fill her shoes. No one could take her place. It just wouldn't be right.
I totally understand that. Yeah,
and as that storyline evolves in the coming months, that's going to be very hard. It's going to be almost reliving this all over again. Only we're now going to have to endure it with the character, you know, and the cast that are playing the characters.
That's true. Because when she, I mean, I started thinking back to the scenes that we all played when. Remember in the storyline, we thought she was dead and she wasn't, you know, that whole thing. And I started thinking of those scenes, and those were hard to play then, knowing that she was around, and, you know, in real life, that she was still around and she would be back. She would be there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I know it will be good, whatever they have planned. I have not heard. I don't know, but...
I had a question,
and I'm sure they're taking in, you know, they're taking in what everyone is saying, and I don't know if people realize that, you know, that like CBS.com has a comment line, and people should go on and, you know, leave their comments.
Yeah,
you know
should.
what they want to see happen and what they want, because they do pay attention to that, they really do.
You know, maybe it would be fitting if the fans had, you know, kind of input and say into how this final storyline, per se, with Catherine Chancellor will take place and how it will evolve and unfold. Although the writing is phenomenal, but, you know, just to maybe have that fan element, that fan involvement of, you know, having the final respects paid to the character, you know, just as they were paid today on the show. And, I mean, that's... Definitely, thank you for reminding everyone to do that, because I think sometimes we forget that, you know, that's why that's there, is for the fans to go and voice, you know, our thoughts and our comments.
You know, I mean, that kind of thing they do take that in. I mean, they know and they read that and they take it all in, because years ago when people kept wanting to see my daughter come back and they wrote and then they did. My daughter did come back, you know, when for a long time everyone was asking, where's your daughter, where's your daughter, you know, kind of thing. So I think people forget that they can have, they do have an impact, and they can make things happen, and they just have to let them know and keep letting them know what they want, what they want to see.
Yeah.
And bide their time.
Pardon?
And bide their time, because nothing happens like overnight.
That's true too.
Right.
That's very true. It takes time, and you know, and it, like they're written ahead right now, probably, you know, till July. So I mean, you're not going to even see on air anything, because things are already written. And they had to change things around, I'm sure, when all this happens. So. You know, I know they're trying to figure it out as well, but I know that they will, whatever they do is going to be, you know, fitting and right and good. So, as fitting and right and good as it can be. I mean, for me, was fitting and right would be if she was still here. You know, I'm having a hard time myself with all this. So, It's a hard one.
Well, yeah, you'll never be able to walk back into work again and look at it the same way as you did before.
No, absolutely not. And outside of her dressing room, there's a memorial kind of thing. There's flowers and, you know, picture, and then there's notes. We've all put notes on her door. And, I mean, I went in that room, you know, for years. You know, we always ran our lines in there. And just lots of things that are different and aren't going to be the same, but you know, she would want us to go forward and grow and keep going, and I intend to do that in her memory, you know, as hard as it is, and I'm really bad at change anyway. I hate change. I'm so bad at it.
You're not alone.
No. Yeah, join Minnie in that same thought.
What?
I said, many people out there have the same thought. I don't like change myself. So that's a change that is unexpected, you know?
Right. I mean, some people welcome change, but I never have. I always like things. to keep going and be the same. But, you know, things happen, and we don't know why they happen. Things happen for a reason, whatever the reasons are. I don't know. I certainly did not prepare myself for this. I really thought that she was going to be fine. So I was, you know, not prepared. Though you're never prepared anyway. You can't be prepared for this.
No. Uh-uh. Yeah. Even if you know ahead of time, you're never prepared.
But you look at the fact, too, of the incredible life she's had and, you know, and how many people she's affected, and very few people can say can accomplish what she's accomplished. Very few.
That's true.
Very few.
So very true.
It's an honor to have worked with her all these years. I am very honored and very blessed to have spent the last 31 years with her. And, she's made change. Because of her, my life was changed, you know, totally changed because of her. And remembering back, I see things like this that we all talked about in the tribute show, but that wasn't aired, you know. That's why I'm hoping that will be online, that people will be able to see all that. Because I talked about the first day, and they didn't have that. But there were too many, and they needed to put footage in as well. That's why I think they did a great job in editing. I didn't know how they were going to ever do this. But just meeting her the first day, you know, that was 31 years ago, and going up to her, and she was sitting in the makeup chair. I can see it like it was yesterday, and going up to her and introducing myself and telling her I was going to play her maid today, and she looked at me like she, you know, that look of hers, and she said, well, it's about time. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of answering my own door, you know. And that was the start of it, you know. That was the beginning, and I loved her ever since. I mean, that was our first contact, and it just went on from there, you know.
You know, I think we're all chuckling because we can see her saying that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And what a way to put you at ease on the first day, you know. I mean, I know several of the characters talked about how, you know, meeting her for the first time was quite awe-inspiring. And then, you know, she just immediately just put each and every person that came on the scene there at YNR, you know, completely at ease, as if, hey, you know, it's okay. You know, and I think that's awesome, the way she went about that.
Yeah, totally. Definitely. Yeah. She had a way that was just unbelievable. And she was so, you know, I mean, she was so amazing because, and several people alluded to the fact that she was, you know, a diva, she was a truck driver. I mean, she was everything, you know, her language, just everything all rolled up, and yet she was classy and brilliant, and just she was just so many different people all rolled up into one. She was one very talented woman, and very, you know, and loyal and giving and you know, I know, I mean, she knew I loved her, and I know she loved me. You just, there's things that you know, and so, but she was, it's hard to even explain, because what you saw, what you see is what you get, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was with you is how she was.
Yeah, most definitely. And what is one piece of advice that you remember that Jeannie gave you? I mean, that just kind of stands out above everything that she maybe ever taught you or did that had an impact on you?
Well, I think in the beginning, because when we would do, and I do the same thing, but I remember being really struck by the fact that, that, you know, how amazing she was to all of her fans. And she always gave them the time and the recognition that they deserved. And she, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for all the viewers, if it wasn't for all of you, if it wasn't for the fans, I mean, I wouldn't even be here talking to you. We wouldn't even, you know, be having this conversation, because that's
right.
Why Young and the Restless is there. And that's why what Young and the Restless, why it's the number one show. And it's all for everyone that is viewing this show. And, of course, the show is really great about imparting knowledge, you know, as it goes along. But also, the main point of the Young and the Restless is to entertain. And
that's true.
And they entertain, you know, with that, with knowledge and with teaching as they go along. And definitely that's what Jeanine Cooper did, I think.
Absolutely.
I have a guest on the phone that would like to say hi to you, Kate.
Okay. Hey, Kate, it's Laura Lee.
Laura Lee.
So, isn't it, you know, listen, it's so funny because I'm hearing you talk, and, you know, we're all talking and doing these interviews and stuff, and I still, like, I don't not, like, I feel like next time I'm at the studio, Jeanine will be there. Like, this is all still very surreal, and it just, I've never been at the set without Jeanine. Like, I've never not gone to work without expecting, you know, like something.
I know.
Trying
to explain too that it is so, it's really is hard. It's hard for us because, like, I also expect her to be there.
Right.
And watching that tribute show, I thought, well, just she's just going to pop in and say, ha ha, the joke's on you, you know.
Right.
I expect her to do that. So it is hard for all of us.
It is.
And I know how much you loved her and how much she loved you, Laura Lee.
She was so great with all of us because she you know, she was one of us, like, the, you know, but she was the also, like, you know, the mother figure, but would talk to us in a way that was so approachable in terms of not preachy but suggestive, but, you know, I mean, just, like, she just was amazing, you know, so fun, like, you know, she encompassed every age group and had sort of personality, and, you know, it was just fun. I mean, she's just a fun person. And Scott and I were watching the first few minutes of it, and he's my husband too, just was like, I can't believe, like, she's not here.
Right.
But the great thing, I'm sure it was because my mom was with me, but we were lucky enough to spend some time with her in the hospital. And, you know, we walked in, and she had on matching nail polish with matching scarf and her big sunglasses, and, you know, she was just fun. She was making, like, she knew that the situation she was in was just not for her, but she was still, you know, making the best out of it, and smiling and giving that look that just, you know, says it all. That, you know, she looks right at you, and you just know that she, you know, there are some people that talk to you and are sort of looking behind you or, you know,
right,
rushing the conversation, but she was always in every moment, whether it be real or work or, you know, I would love to listen to her talk about her grandkids and everything because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what life is about, is your family. And she loved all aspects, her show family and her family, and loved when her grandkids would come over and her dogs. And, like, it's just, you know, it's fun to listen to her.
Oh, absolutely. And she lived every moment.
Mm-hmm.
She went for it. Every single moment. And I think that's a good lesson, too, that she taught all of us. You know, you go for it.
Right.
You go for those moments. And they only come around once. And you make sure you live them and go for them. Because that's what she did. Like you said, in the hospital, even that moment,
mm-hmm.
she was living that to the full extent of whatever that was at that
right.
point.
Right. She didn't love it.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm surrounded by my daughter and some friends. And, you know, let's enjoy it, because else are we going to do?
I don't know. I keep thinking, and people go, well, she's 84. I go, well, yeah, but to me that's not old anymore. Like,
I know.
Anymore. You know, okay, well, yeah, I know, but 84
so
is not old.
My mom's 84, too, and I keep saying, like,
I know.
You know, it's like 84 is the new 60. I mean,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, and it's also relative anyway, you know, it's a hard one. I think
I'm sure it was nice today for the viewers to see Corbin Collins and Kim.
Yeah,
oh,
definitely.
My gosh, it was,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to realize, you know, on how hard it is for them, too. I mean,
we've
lost her, but then I think of them, too.
Right,
And what they've lost. So, and like you said, Laura Lee, I mean, she loved, she had all these families, and they were all families. They were complete families that were all merged, and she enjoyed all of them.
Right, she did.
So
she did.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Anyway, go and let you talk to Laura Lee.
I know, it seems like we're mean to ignore everyone else.
Well, this is great, Laura Lee. I get to talk to you now.
I know.
Anyway, well, thank you all. And so, Laura Lee,
thank you, Kate, for taking the time out after your long flights, you know, for calling in and sharing with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
I appreciate you, all of you, and all of you doing this, because she so deserves all of this tribute and more. I mean, there just aren't enough words to, and there are. I just don't have the proper words at my disposal to explain, you know, what this means to all of us and how she was and what it meant to be part of her life. So, I thank you all.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Okay.
You're
bye-bye.
So welcome, Kate. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye, Laura Lee.
I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Laura Lee, I have to say, thank God for your mom and dad and the vision that your dad and your family has had. You know, today we always knew as fans, the reason why we knew why YNR has been number one rated daytime for so long. Mm-hmm. But today you guys set the bar so high because you did something for one of your own and one of the legends, you know, not only daytime, but just Hollywood legends and so forth that has not been done before. And just to see you guys, you know, real and just sitting there chatting about someone that you admired and respected and loved, it was very touching for me and for the fans out there. And thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys did that.
I am too. You know, I think it was healthy for all of us, and it was fun. I mean, you know, I've never, even though I see Heather Tom all the time, like I've never sat with her and talked about Jeannie. So it's and you know, the boys talking about how she, you know, would grope them all the time. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? Because I never saw that. And I love that there was this, like, right in front of my nose, there was this other side of Jeannie. Because I was with, you know, I was always hanging with Doug or with Michael. And, you know, they would do their little flirts back and forth. I never saw any contact. So it's just, you know, it's fun to think you know someone so well. And then it was just fun to listen to everybody's stories. And you know, that caused Trish, taping the episode caused Trish to come in and stay with us for a couple of days, which, you know, is always a happy time. And so we got to have special stories about Jeannie and just to see some of her pictures from when she first started out, that there was like a tiny little bit of life before The Young and the Restless. I'm kidding. It was huge. You know, her career was huge. And and it's great to see, because for some of us, we just think like, oh, well, her life started when she came on the show. But yeah, she and my dad had a very strong connection. I mean, you know, there were some years that were very difficult for her. But he saw something special and he wasn't going to give up. And I think if it were, you know, certain actresses, he would have said that it's just not worth the trouble and, you know, we're going late and this and that. But, you know, he wanted to keep Jeannie and get her healthy. And you know, I think they were each other's, like, you know, fans of each other. And he wouldn't settle for anything but her showing up for work. If she had to take a break, she had to take a break. But it was always going to be Jeannie, you know. So it's great that, I mean, that kind of relationship, too, is great to have as, you know, employee and employer, although my father would never, like, say I'm the employer. He would, you know, to him it was one big family, and that's what it is, and that's what today showed, is that we are. I mean, even if you don't work in the same storyline with someone, you're with them, you know, in hair and makeup, and you're with them at cast photos and parties, and everybody crossed paths, and there wasn't anyone that didn't want to sit and have some time with Jeannie, because you know, she was just so much wonderful knowledge and such a, you know, really positive. She was so cute. One day I was in Chicago, and I was at a hotel with my husband, and there was a word that Jeannie was looking for me, and I, you know, she'd never call me on vacation. and she called and she said, Corbin would like you to be in a movie that he's doing. And she's, you know, she's going on and on and on about the story of it. And you know, I wanted to say, like, you know, the Jerry Maguire line, like, you had me at hello. Like, I will do anything for you. Like, I will do anything for your family. Like, you know, it was just, she was, it was so funny because, you know, we had so much fun shooting that outside of Young and Restless, and I spent a ton of time with her on that. And when we would take, you know, little weekend trips and promote it, and just, I kind of, you know, grew up with Corbin and Colin and Karen, and so it's just, you know, it's life, you know. Unfortunately, there's the good and the bad, and to see them last week, you know, the great thing is they loved their mom, and they're so proud of her, and she was so proud of them, and at the end of the day, I mean, they just were, they're so super tight, so that's what you want, and so she got it, and she deserved it.
Mm-hmm, definitely, and you know, there was just not enough time. I was telling Kate earlier that if we had, you know, we would have been happy as fans. I mean, I know there was so much footage shot of the tribute. We would have been happy just to see this all week on YR, you know, to make it the Jeannie Cooper week. And but I know everyone has their special stories about her and how she's impacted them. What was it like for you? Because I know you kind of knew her, you know, in a different way because, you know, your dad and she were so close and just had that relationship. And the first time you met her, what was it like for you?
Oh, I mean, I would think that I probably met her in Chicago for the first time. I watched the show from when I was very young. I can't remember if I met her when we were out here for a party, which is probably, but you don't really get to talk to someone. And but I remember her coming to Chicago with, I'm pretty sure it was Corbin. And, you know, that kind of, you know, we evolved as the more time I would spend here. But what I was so super grateful for with her is, you know, she did have my back from day one. I mean, there were obviously actors that were like, hold on, you know, boss's daughter, she's coming in, what's going on? Jeannie was like, you know, I think was sort of, you prove yourself, you're good with me. You learn your lines, you're good with me. You know, you're kind to people, you're good with me. So we were always good. I did the best I could. She would give me as much advice as she could. She knew I was like a work in progress. But she gave, you know, she never second-guessed any intentions, or she never, you know, I think because truthfully, I think she was wanting to help out her kids in the business too. I mean, you know, I would talk to her all the time about, you know, how come if, you know, if a son's a lawyer after their father, everyone pats the dad on the back, yeah, your son's a lawyer, but if you want to get into the entertainment business, like your parents are like, oh, you're getting in the entertainment business, you know, so it's, you know, it's a weird position to be in, but she was always super gracious, and she always would include me and wouldn't tolerate for any sort of, you know, nepotism talk, and, you know, I always appreciated that because, you know, I was doing the best I could, and when you have someone like Jeannie in your corner, people don't mess with you. So
it's true.
But I did have like funny, like, you know, I remember a couple, like, I don't know, 5 or 10, it's got to be more than that, probably 10 years ago, sitting in hair and makeup, and she was cutting open a papaya, and I had never seen the inside of it. And I look over at her, and I said, Beanie, I would call her Beanie, what, like, what in that, what are you eating? And, you know, it just looked like gross, moist, like, enlarged caviar pouring out of the fruit. And I was like, what is that? And she's like, have you never had this? And I was like, no, and I never will based on what you were doing. And she was, I mean, we're just going back and forth for about 15 minutes. And now I eat them all the time, and I will never eat one without just thinking of just our insane conversation of me just, I mean, I wasn't like, excuse me, Ms. Cooper, what are you, I was like, that is disgusting. I won't get near your mouth after you. And she's like, well, you don't eat the seeds. But, and then she's scooping it out, and, you know, part of it's missing the garbage can. Like, it was disgusting. And so, you know, that, I mean, and that's how it is, you know, in the family. You just, I don't know that I have, like, unbelievable stories. I just, you know, I just don't know of times when I wasn't with her. And then she was great because when my husband first moved out here, he was doing a bunch of photography. And this was, I don't know whether this was before, it must have been, it was obviously after the facelift. She did do some sort of chemical peel like months, like years after, and she said, it's going to be really disgusting, Scott, but I want, you know, it's just like, you know, it's what a lot of women do now, like an outpatient, like just appeal. But back then it was kind of a new thing. And she said, I want you to come in and photograph it. And he was like, okay, okay. And he loved Jeannie and Jeannie loved him. And he came back that day and he's like, this was like the nastiest thing. And she's so cool. She's like, I mean, you literally see like her skin, you know, like fresh baby skin underneath. But she didn't care, and she was always honest and open with everybody, and she was always up for something. And, you know, so we spent bizarre and wonderful times with her. But, again, that's life. That's kind of what a relationship is about. So, you know, she's just – and she has this – I don't know if anyone's ever talked about this, but there's this large cardboard cutout of her. I don't know if it was in – I didn't see the entire tribute today, but there's this large like life-size – cutout of her, and it's in her dressing room. And I think it was like when I took a few months off, and I came in, I sat in her dressing room, and I came right in. I was late, and I was trying to go through my pages really fast, and I'm sitting in her dressing room, and I'm looking down. Now the corner of my eye, I see a foot, and I slowly start to look up, and it's her life-size cutout, and I didn't know about it, so I'm you know, I'm screaming, and my hands are shaking, and I'm there, you know, it looks just like her. And I thought, oh my God, you know, and so I left, and later on I came in. She has two doors, like a front door and a back door. I came in the back door, and would you believe the same thing? I walk in, and I think she's standing there. You know. And so the next day I said, what? You've got to get that thing out of your room. Like, it is creepy. And she laughed. She said, I can't tell you how many stories I get exactly like what you're saying right now. And just because of that, she is going to keep that thing in there. She should have put a hidden camera in there, because I'm sure people have just about, you know, wet their pants just seeing it, because it's just the last thing you expect. But she kind of tucks it behind a little tree right in her room, and she always would have Christmas lights on her little tree, her fake tree. Yeah, it's just fun. I mean, it's just fun. But that's how she is. If she thinks like she's getting a good laugh out of it, she's not going to take it away. She is going to keep it there. I'll still fall for it. If they keep that in there, this time I'll fall for it, but I'll love it. And she'll be laughing from above.
Yeah.
Well, for sure.
she's laughing now, Larly.
I'm sure she is.
Will you be able to take any type of memento from her, from, you know, work, home with you?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, ever since they rotated that Chancellor set, it's so freaky to me anyway. Do you know what I mean? Do you guys know that they, like, changed? Yeah. I have great pictures. Like, I've been sent in the last couple of weeks pictures that I've never seen of her and the two of us together. So between that and then when I had when we had our daughter Samantha, she sent me the most amazing kind of music box that it's more than a music box. It's like little dancers kind of on the – there's like – it's like two levels. You put a little kind of music box kind of disc in the top, and then in the bottom they're little ballerina dancers that spin around. So I saw that the other day, and I thought, you know, this will always be close, you know. But I don't know. I feel like there's so many good memories, and you know, if I would love a piece of her fake jewelry.
Yeah.
But,
I love when Michelle had it on her knee like that. I just couldn't figure out why she had it there though.
Oh,
you
right.
know, at first,
yeah.
And then somebody
right.
mentioned it was jeans.
Yeah.
So that was pretty neat. But you would think that she'd be wearing it instead of having it hanging from her knee.
Well, you never know with that Phyllis character.
Right.
Very unpredictable.
That's exactly right.
Very unpredictable in my years of crossing paths with her.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's too funny. Well, Laurie, we won't keep you much longer. We want to thank you so much for stopping by and sharing your stories with us. We really, really appreciate it. And just know that she's always in our heart, and as well as the rest of you. We will always be here for you.
Very sweet. Well, we can't thank you enough. And I think it was such a great idea because, you know, sometimes when you see a show or, you know, a movie or anything like that, you want to go out and talk about it. And clearly after today's episode, you know, we weren't done talking. And we'll never be done talking, but it was nice to follow this up tonight. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You're very welcome.
You're so welcome. Thank
you. I'll talk to
Take
you
care,
soon.
Laura Lee.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's so nice that they, you know, come on here to spend a little bit of time with us, considering, you know, they've already had to go through the tribute and how hard it had to be for them. But maybe even just talking about it, not so much that it makes it easier, but, you know, thinking of the funny times and telling the funny stories, it makes it a little bit easier to, you know, get through your day and that.
Yeah. Do you want to, speaking of funny stories, do we want to play a clip from the interview, or do you want to hold off on doing that?
Definitely. Yeah, go ahead and play a clip, and then I think we should take, a couple calls.
Oh, definitely, before our next guest. Just to preface this is a clip from the interview that Pam and I did last December, Pam? Wasn't it last December? I think it was.
I believe so. It was right before Christmas.
Yeah, and it was just the most amazing time that I've had, you know, talking to, of all the people we talked to. I mean, this was just another surreal moment for me. I was just like, I can't even believe we're talking to Jeannie Cooper. And she just, it was just like talking to an old friend. There was nothing about her. While the whole time we were on with her, I didn't feel like we were talking to Catherine Tensler. I mean, she was just real and down to earth. And she told these stories, and I don't know when I've laughed more during an interview.
I know, right?
But one of the stories that she told near the beginning was, for one thing, she told this funny story because my name being Dawn, and I say Dawn, Southern style. She pronounced it as Dawn, and so she goes into this story about Dawn. I want to play this clip, and we'll let you listen out there, audience, as to which Dawn she's referring to. But here we go.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Take Two Radio. I'm your host, Pam, and with me today is my lovely co-host, Dawn. We're very excited to welcome our very special guest today, who is a multi-award-winning actress from film and TV, but most notably from The Young and the Restless as Catherine Chancellor. Welcome, Miss Jean Cooper.
Well, God, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm just as excited to be there as you are to be talking to me. So we now
and
have
we are excited.
Admiration
oh, yes,
club going
definitely.
Here. All right, you also have Dawn with you, right?
Yeah,
who is a girl.
Yeah.
Dawn
yes,
is a girl.
Thank you.
And Dawn.
Yes, that's right. Yes, we did establish that, didn't we? Thank you.
Listen, you know, I'll tell you something, Dawn. What was so funny about that, the guy who was 001, it was the comedy, Dawn Knotts, the guy.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people who had never seen the show, the TV show, Dawn Knotts thought Dawn Knotts was a girl? Now, I had never watched the show, and we had a group at that time who played poker once a week. And this friend of mine called me up and said, is it okay if Dawn Knotts joins us, for our girls' poker game? And I said, well, we've never allowed men in before. Why? they said, how'd you know he was a man? I said, because somebody told me it was D-O-N, not D-A-W-N. And they said, we thought he was a girl. I said, take a good look at him. Do you think it looks like a girl? And they said, no, we were just taking it as a reference. They'd never watched the show. They didn't know it. There's a friend of theirs pointing a joke on them.
Oh,
so it was hysterical.
There you go.
So, anyway.
Oh, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, the thing, I always clarify and say it's Dawn with a W.
Yeah, there you go. Or as we say in the South, Dawn. You know, we say that Southern Dawn with it.
Oh, gosh.
She was such a riot that day, Pam, I must tell you.
I'm laughing just listening to the clip. That was a good one.
She's so funny. She's so funny.
Yeah, we're going to play clips like that throughout the show. Instead of having just one long re-air of the interview, we're just going to play clips here and there, so that way you just get bits and pieces, and you can always listen to the whole thing, on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes or Stitcher, which is a mobile app you can download to your mobile devices, and then also from take2radio.com. I have the podcast up there, so you can listen to it anytime. And that's the great part about these shows being recorded is now, because we've lost a legend, a friend, you know, of course we never met her in person, but, you know, you feel like you know these people, especially after you interview them and you get to spend some time with them. You know, that you can go back and listen to them, and you'll have them forever.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. And to think of all the clips, you know, and all the episodes we can now see, you know, on YouTube, YNR, you know, the CBS website of her in, you know, even right down to the very last scene. I mean, it's just so great what we have now. It will live on, you know, because of her. So that. Those are the things that we now have that we can cherish forever.
Yeah. Now, Kim in the chat room is saying this is hard for me to listen to. And you know what? I'm choked up, too, after listening to that. You know, it just brings back all these thoughts in my head that we're never going to see her again, you know, every day or every other day or a few times a week on YNR unless it's, you know, they go pan past the picture or something, or somebody brings up her name. And you've watched her for so many years. My gosh, you know, and I think even the new viewers, you know, even if you've only watched her for a short time, how could you not love Jeannie?
Well, you know, her character style was just so her. I mean, she put so much of herself, Jeannie Cooper, into the character Catherine Chancellor, and so, you know, when you would see those interactions with her fellow castmates, it was believable. I mean, it's like, you know, Greg said today on the show that, you know, one of the scenes where they had and she was just speaking to him, and at the end he really didn't have a line, so he just says, "And I love you too," because that was how he truly felt about her. And I think that's just how. That's the impact she had on people, both, you know, her castmates as well as fans and the viewers.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And speaking of fans, I'd like to go ahead and take a couple of calls, and they can share their thoughts on Jeannie as well. So first up, I'm going to pick up actually two calls, and it's going to be Vonda and Cassandra. Welcome, you're live on the show.
Hello, this is Vonda. How are you?
Great,
hi,
it's great.
Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you girls doing?
I'm well.
Good. Listening to all the wonderful memories and laughing with y'all and crying at the same time.
I know, it brings a tear to all of our eyes. We're all getting choked up over here. Even David.
Even David is getting choked up a little bit.
See,
could
even real
not
men
get choked up,
right? Real men can cry too.
Even my 9-year-old gets choked up talking about her. He loved her so much.
That's
sweet.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a story behind how much you loved her. Why don't you tell her, Rhonda?
Yeah, he actually found out she was in the hospital, so he was very adamant about building her a Build-A-Bear, so I didn't know how I was going to get it to her, but then I decided to try to send it to the hospital, and he built her a nurse monkey and called it Nurse Maddox Monkey after himself because his name is Maddox, and sent it to the hospital, and she got it the day before she got out the first time. And Karen, her daughter, was very gracious and let me know that they received it and that Jean loved it. And she also updated me and told me to inform Maddox that Nurse Maddox is now living with her and will be there for her when she's having a hard time for her to look at and to smile, that she appreciated it very much.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
My God, that's awesome.
Yes, my son loved her. He heard her on the TV one day when she was in the hospital. He was brushing his teeth, and he comes running through the hallway, mouth full of toothpaste, Mom, is Gene out of the hospital? And I'm like, no, baby, this show's pre-recorded. And he, I mean, mouth still full of toothpaste. Well, Mom, let's say a prayer right now. Let's pray for her. He loves her so much.
My gosh.
Especially
that's
for someone
so
that, you know, he had never met. It was just over the TV.
Yeah.
And he's actually inspired me and, you know, to reach out to Cassandra created the prayer circle group. And
yep.
With her group, I've created a card book invitation event where everyone is sending me cards. And I'm putting together books to send to Karen and Corbin and Colin to show them all of the fans' love for their mother and support for them. And, you know, it's pretty amazing when a 9-year-old inspires you to reach out to other people.
Well, it says a lot for his parenting, too, that you've instilled that in him, you know, and he just has a sweet soul. If somebody wants to participate in that, where can they send a card?
I can post the address for you. It's an address in Lexington, Kentucky. And I can post it in the chat room for you if you would like. And,
sure.
And we can also tweet you the link to the actual
And
page for everything.
I'd like that. I'd like that, please. I think there would be a lot of people that would love to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and all you have to do is purchase a card and mail it to this address, or go on the computer, make you a homemade card, and write your own thoughts and feelings or stories and send it that way.
That's such
a
great idea.
Some people have even included notes to the family. You know, like they couldn't put it in the card, so they include like a note to the family, you know, basically something to, you know, help them with their grief or how Jeannie inspired them to do, you know, in everyday life and stuff like that. So it's been very, memorable reading stuff from other fans and how they inspired, how she inspired them to do things.
And you know, the beauty of Jeannie Cooper that I think we can all attest to is how, you know, when we first learned from Corbin and, you know, and gosh, I guess I just have to say before I say anything else, he has been phenomenal to pour his heart out every day since this ordeal happened. Letting the fans know and keeping the fans up to speed. And I don't know if you noticed this, but because he was so open about, just like his mother was, so open, you know, about the situation, did you notice that the media did not have a field day and they didn't speculate? They couldn't, because he had squelched all of that by putting it out there himself. And I thought that was great that he did that. I thought it was courageous that he, you know, took it upon himself to keep the fans informed. And it really showed just how much the fans meant to his mother, and he realized it very quickly. So it just made him want to keep letting us know. Even now, you know, he is still letting us know almost daily what his thoughts are. And it is, I think it's helped all of us. And this has been such a great way to bring people together. And it is, you know, sad that it takes tragedy to do that, but it has been amazing, the outpouring of love that has, you know, been put forth by the fans on your site and, you know, through this book and just everything
mm-hmm.
that you two have done. I mean, you two are to be commended as well for just
right.
making this what it is, because, you know, it really has been what you provided on Facebook has given the fans one central place to go and grieve together and pray together and just be together, you know, in this moment that
yeah.
we're all sharing, you know, a life. So thank you so much for doing that.
It was Corbin's post that inspired. Well, actually, I read Corbin's post that she was in the hospital, you know, in April when he posted that. And that whole entire night, God was telling me to create the page and by 2 p.m. I had over 900 people, and now we have like almost 3,000 people sharing their love for Jeannie and prayers for, well, it was prayers for her, and now it's prayers for her family. And just, there have been people creating collages. We've also had some members that have had things happen to them, and so we pray for them. Basically, doing the same thing that Jeannie did in her life by loving and inspiring other people, and we're just paying it forward.
Yeah, and it is amazing how that works, isn't it? Because what you guys have done through the Facebook page to bring people together is, and has given people that opportunity to chat with each other, to share with each other, and to just really breathe together. And pray for one another. That's exactly what Jeannie would want. You know, I mean, that is so how she was. And to be able to take, you know, something that was so important to her and, like you said, pay it forward, it's just been amazing how it's just all kind of unfolded.
I love how Cassandra got me involved in the group. She, at the time when she asked me to be co-man, she had no clue that my son had seen anything because I hadn't told anyone. And then when she asked me, I'd shared that story with her, and it just all kind of fit together for me to be part of this group with her. And, you know, we've created the events. We've also, we've seen on Access Hollywood that Corbin loves snow globes. So.
Yeah.
We're allowing fans, there's another event that we're allowing fans to send snow globes if they want to in honor of Jeannie to Corbin. And just the outpouring of love to Corbin and the family. And we've also created a In Memory of Jeannie Cooper page for people to go on there and share their personal experiences with Jeannie. And that was just mainly focused on Jeannie and their stories and how she has touched their lives. And the very first night, a guy came on, and he was telling us how he was an alcoholic. And he seen Jeannie Cooper as Catherine on the show and her being an alcoholic on the show and how it encouraged him to get help. And now he's... he owns his own magazine. It's just amazing the lives and stories that's been shared about her.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it just goes to show how far-reaching, you know, Jeannie, the impact she had on so many. And while I've got you guys in a break, we want to bring on our next guest. Pam, do you want to do the honors?
Sure. Let me try to get it up. I hear my voice is going.
I hear it. Do you want me to bring them on?
I got it.
Okay.
Hi, I'm back again. We want to welcome Doug Davidson to the show with my squeaky voice.
I got a squeaky voice too today.
Do you?
You do too?
Yeah, well, don't tell anybody what we've been doing together.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
It's my secret. I'm fine.
Hey, Doug.
Hi. I miss Jeannie very, very deeply. It's a whole new experience, you know, without having someone that really went back to the origins of our show. And, It's a different ball game.
Yes, it is.
By the time I came on, it was 1978, so the show was on 5 years, and it was pretty well established. But when she came on, I think it was barely 6 months in, and you know, she was the pro they needed, and as it turned out, she was the really the spine to us being the ribs. She really, as if any of you saw the tribute today, she touched everybody, and she she helped. We all had the same story. You know, some deep and meaningful life experience that she was either helped you through or solved a problem or, I mean, she was amazing. I really have never known anybody quite like her.
Yeah, and I just want to say that we, Pam and I, this is Dawn, by the way, we had the opportunity to interview Jeannie last December, and boy, what a treat it was. She, very much like you say, she treated us the exact same way. You forgot quickly that she was Catherine Chancellor. I mean, she was just as down to earth and gracious, and just so much fun and just so full of love. And it was very awe-inspiring for us to come away from that. And I think it forever changed us individually. Wouldn't you say, Pam?
For sure. For sure. Yeah, it's a day I'll never forget being able to speak with her, and I thank God every day that I was able to do that and have my good friend Dawn with me at the same time.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
She was bigger than life, and her heart was even bigger. She was an amazing individual.
Yes,
even way into her 80s.
Yes, and during our interview that day, she had some very nice things to say about you. Would you mind if we play a brief clip?
No, not at all.
All right.
I'd love it.
There you go. We have one person in the chat room who is asking, who do you like to share scenes with the most on Y&R?
Share scenes with the most on Y&R?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. That's a big one. I guess maybe Doug Davidson. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah. Him too.
Love Doug.
Yeah. Doug is, he's been on the show next to me. I've been there the longest, and
mm-hmm.
he's been next to the longest. But Doug, I've watched him grow up and become such a responsible, committed guy. His kids are just so talented, and there's, I have one daughter in London at the music, it's a conservatory. She was accepted. She's a brilliant pianist. The young girl, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
did
guess.
You ever adapt him? Because you said in your book you were trying to adapt him for years.
Yeah, I just considered him mine now. Every time he goes away, he says, I thought it would be you. Cindy, his wife, is a treasure, too. Really is a treasure. And
she really, that was just incredible. Yeah, that was the end of it. And
great.
Doug, you could just tell if she could have adopted you, she would have.
No, she's, just hearing her brings tears to my eyes. I can't tell you. She called for me in her first stay at the hospital, and I live quite a ways out of town. So I came down the next day, and she was just, I think she knew then, and she was just trying really hard to touch all the bases before she couldn't do it anymore. She is, she's still around. I feel her all the time.
Laura Lee was telling us about that cutout. I mean, have you seen that, of the life-size cutout of?
It's stuck on the wall in makeup now.
Is it?
Oh, it?
Yeah.
She's right there with you at all times, looking at you and looking down to you as well, because we know she's an angel in heaven for sure. Kicking and screaming all the way, I'm sure, too.
There's so many things we shared. When she won her Emmy, I was sitting right behind her. And very few times are you in a situation where you can experience just pure joy with no responsibility? And I was blessed to experience pure joy for her, and it was a remarkable, remarkable moment for me. And then, obviously, a treasure moment for her too. But she was always showed up at the right time. I mean, and it was, and you know, same thing. You'll hear the same story from Billy Mirror or Joshua Morrow, or she had a different relationship with everybody. Are you there?
Oh, yes, definitely. One thing, I know that, you know, the tribute today, by the way, was just absolutely beautiful. It was, there's just no words. It was just the way it was done and created. I mean, I was telling Laura Lee earlier, I think as fans, we could have taken the rest of this week and just had you guys doing this tribute over the remaining four days.
Yeah.
It would have been beautiful.
I got to say, it was Jill Farron Phelps. I know she, a lot of our, you know, she's new to our group, but this was her brainchild, and she made it all happen, and she worked pretty tirelessly in a very short period of time to put it all together. And the other kudos I'd like to throw out would be to Jess Walton, too, because I thought she did an exceptional, exceptional job of opening it up and really made us all feel comfortable as viewers, as friends, as any perspective you have on Jean. She brought us all together in that tribute, and it was so remarkable that it all came together in such a very short time.
Yeah, and you know, and I think one of the things that was so enjoyable about that today was just seeing you guys being who you are, your real self, you know, out of character, and
Right. And
just, you know, it was totally unscripted. It was just pouring your hearts out and sharing your fondest memories. And for you, you know, as she said in the clip there, you know, you've been on there the second longest. And what was it like for you the first time you met her?
Well, she took me out to lunch at the signing of my first long-term contract. She was there at the birth of both my kids. She knew I was in pretty good hands at home, so I wasn't needy in that aspect. But she was always there for me with family, with work, with anything you needed. She was always when people say, I wish I got to meet her. But I'll tell you that what you see on screen is just what she is. I'm sure there is, you know, when you saw the clip today of Mrs. Chancellor wearing a Five Free Kevin T-shirt or whatever, it was, that was who she was. Just an incredibly loving, caring individual, just a real example of how to behave on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well said indeed. Pam?
She's truly missed every day.
Yeah, and you know, and as great as the show is, it's going to be very hard. I think it'll be hard for you guys, and please know, our thoughts are with you all as well, because we know how hard it's going to be and has been since, you know, her passing, to go to work, but it's going to be a different dynamic around. But no doubt,
Wine
Art's number one for a reason.
I was talking with Don Diamond, who played with, or played Brad and now it's Bill on B&B. And he had a lot of ugly tragedies in his family where he lost a brother, a mother, father, and to horrible, painful cancer deaths. And he was the one person after Jeannie passed when he kind of had a, there was an upbeat smile, and he thought, you know, this is perfect. It really is perfect because she was relevant, she was vibrant, she was busy right up until the very end. There was no long-term drag-on illness that you got to sit back and watch someone deteriorate and become a shell of them former selves. So he was the one person really that spoke to me and mentioned what a blessing she was able to work and wring the life out of her time on the planet here. Then when it was her time to go, you know, she just boarded the plane and took off. And his comments really made me feel a lot better about the days to come and the work yet to do. Because you're never going to walk on that set without feeling her presence. And I know that'll be true. And it certainly is true to this point. Her spirit will live on in those halls.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, Doug, we want to thank you so very much for taking time to call in and share your thoughts, and we love the tribute today, thank you so much. I want to extend that, you know, on behalf of the fans out there, and myself, Pam and David here for just doing that, and please pass along our gratitude to Jill Fehrenfeld for brainstorming this, because this was very, I think it was very 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 fitting for the fans and for you guys as well. So thank you so very much. And
thank you very much.
Hey, love you guys. Take care. And hey, we each have another angel out there.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Take care. God bless.
Thanks, Doug.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. That was, I enjoyed hearing from him, Pam. That
I did
was,
too.
It was just wonderful. And to be able to just hear from him and hear him pour his heart out, and I believe the clip got to him.
I think
he got a little choked up. Of course, not intended to choke him up. But I wanted him to hear that, because at the time of the interview, when Pam and I did that interview, you know, he wasn't there to hear it then. And I'm sure it's nothing he hasn't heard her say before. But can you imagine how meaningful that has to be now? I think we've got to find a way to get that clip to him so he can have that as a keepsake moving forward. And gosh, I think today has just been one of those days where it's just unforgettable. We'll never forget seeing, you know, the YNR cast in that way. And we're never going to forget, you know, Jeannie Cooper. She's just one of those people that will always, forever live in our hearts and our minds, and so many memories. She's just left a legacy behind. Wouldn't you say, David?
Oh, yes, definitely. Very much so. She just filled a room all by herself and invited everyone else to come with her.
Yeah, she sure did. Well, speaking of filling a room, I want to take and play another clip, because we're going to be playing these throughout the show tonight. And this is one, we were, of course, Pam and I, when we spoke with her, it was in December, and it was before the Christmas. And we kind of got on the topic of the holidays, and I was talking with her about you know, this and how she celebrates. And it was just real interesting to hear what she has to say. Take a listen. Lovely time of the year.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's a great time of the year, isn't it?
It is.
It really is. So, holiday time. It just reminds everybody to sort of, you know, to sort of be a little bit closer to the people you love and have a little bit more family time rather than who cares kind of thing.
Just
one reason I do like the holidays, I really do. Because it at least the family sort of thinks. Because the family today sort of doesn't think. They text.
That's right. That's right.
I'm serious.
Well, yeah. What is one of the your favorite thing to do during the holiday season?
Oh, during the holiday season?
Mm-hmm.
During the holiday season, just sort of getting a different spirit about everything, basically. You know, I mean, the tree trimmings and all of that and seeing each other's trees and, you know, those of us who celebrate that, you know, there's other religions that don't.
Right, right.
But by the same token, it's what the country was sort of founded on, so we've gone along with it since I think we were Baptists in the beginning when I was a kid, something like that. Anyway, it's the spirit that I like to get going with everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm,
even
mm-hmm.
my gardener, who I could fire every Friday of the week. But however, and the holidays, I sort of say, you'll never learn, but I love you anyway. Keep on mowing.
So the holidays is their reprieve. That is so good.
But it's a lovely time to remember what's important, I think. The reminder of what it is about, what it started out to be. What it should be is the celebration of, you know, you start with Thanksgiving, which is almost, this year, they paid more attention to Thanksgiving than I have ever remembered in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, Thanksgiving literally would come and go because Christmas was celebrated, that stores were decorating 3 weeks before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Halloween had a bigger effect than Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
There's that old marvelous, there's a postcard that's out now. It's a picture of Santa Claus and a picture of a turkey, a very angry turkey. And the turkey saying to Santa Claus, "Wait your turn, dude."
So I think
it sort of explains it, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it
really does. Thank you. I just loved that where she was talking about the postcard at the end there, you know, and the way she kind of, you know, said it as if you could almost hear that animated turkey saying that to Santa Claus, you know, the way she did that at the end. Oh, it just cracked me up. But, you know, that's just a small clip from a great interview. And as Pam said before, you know, you guys can hear it in its entirety, both on Blog Talk. You can also access it on iTunes and also Stitcher. It's a great interview. I mean, there were just so many moments like that. I mean, Pam, do you remember how we toiled before this interview ever took place over the questions we were going to ask her?
Oh, my gosh. And the list, you know, of questions I came up with, and we never even, I don't think we even touched on the majority of them. You know, it was just once she got on, it was a conversation amongst friends almost more than anything else.
And you threw your questions out.
That's true. It was just like, okay, we don't need questions. This is one of the easiest interviews ever, you know. It was fun, and it was like three gals having, you know, coffee or just sitting there having a drink over dinner. It was just wonderful. And but, yeah, I just remember how we were. You know, I remember when we booked her, when we found out she was going to be on the show, and I remember calling you going, Pam, can you believe we have the, you know, one of the biggest stars in daytime? I mean, it was just amazing. But then, and all of the angst of, oh, my gosh, we're interviewing Jenny Cooper. But then she gets on the line, and immediately that just fades. It was just like an old friend who called to say hello, and we were catching up. And that's, you know, and that is one of the biggest things about that interview that kind of inspired me was the conversational style. And that is the reason why I am such a big advocate in my own shows of doing the conversational style, because it's just so much more friendly, it's so much more comfortable, and Jeannie just had this magical way of making you feel at ease. And I certainly
right.
did within seconds of her being on the line.
Exactly, exactly. The one thing that I will always have regrets on is never being able to take her up on doing that lunch.
Oh, no. I know. I think I thought about
oh,
that
wow.
so many times. And for the listeners who don't know, at the end of our interview, we had only talked to her for, what, an hour, Pam, maybe an hour? And she proceeds to say to Pam and I, you know, if you're ever out in L.A., please let me know in advance. I would love to take you to lunch. Pam and I, of course, she's in Illinois, I'm in North Carolina, and I know at the same time our heart sank because we were like, and she goes on to say, you gals are my kind of people. You're my kind.
Right.
And I was so humbled by that. I mean, here's Jeannie Cooper saying, let's have lunch. Okay, great. Pam, can we somehow make it to California? So, when can we pack our bags? Let me check plane fares. You know, and it, you know, and I remember you saying, Pam, I'll put that on my bucket list. And she said, no, don't wait that long. And hearing that today, as I was running these edits for the clip, I just started tearing up when I heard that, because I had to wonder, did she know in December? She was full of life. I mean, you know, just vivacious and happy and bubbly. But I had to wonder, did she know at that time, or have a hint? It's just those lines and those comments that she made throughout the interview that just are now so strangely eerie, you know, and have them just a completely different meaning as before.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I'm very happy to say we have Michael Fairman on the phone with us. Hello, Michael.
Oh. Hello. How are you?
Oh, we're living, breathing, walking, talking. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm good. I sat down. I stopped everything today, and I thought I'm going to watch the live broadcast of the tribute episode to Jeannie Cooper, and because I really, I didn't want to go back later and watch it or anything like that. And so I sat there and. The minute it started, I lost it when I was talking, and it just got me. You know, even though that part was scripted, how she was talking about being in the chancellor, being in the room and the chancellor, the whole thing. It was just. I know how hard that was for Jess, and even the very end when she closed it. Closed the episode, really got to me. It was very difficult, but I was really proud of Young and the Restless for doing a full hour, which they should have. And I really thought that they captured, through everybody talking and through the bits that we got, that it aired, really the essence of her. You know, that's the Jean that I know and love. And I thought they did a really good job with that. But it was heartbreaking, and there were times when I just was like, I fell apart multiple times. Because I know, you know, she's a dear friend of mine, and because it still doesn't seem, and I know the other callers have said, you know, it doesn't even seem real at some point, like she's really gone. But, you know, it was difficult to watch, but I'm so glad they did it. And I do know, and I can kind of tell you that I do believe that they are going to put some other... They will put some more stuff online from the episode.
Oh, good.
There's more that will be seen, which is one of the first comments I had. I'm like, because you could tell that at times, you know, I'm sure there were so many tears and so much that they had to cut away because they were editing it, you know, editing to get everybody in and their thoughts and what they wanted to say. But I'm sure there was much more. So I think there's more to come on it. I can tell you that.
Well, thank you for letting us know that, because we would love to see more, even though it is, you know, very emotional to sit down and watch it as it was today. And I, just like you, broke down several times, and I said, I think the one that got
me
the most.
I started at the very beginning.
Was Eric
Braden. I mean, I was really, I was just, I didn't, I mean, I lost it at the beginning. And I'm like, oh, this is bad. I'm not going to be able to see what's going
mm-hmm.
on. So, you know, it's been a very interesting several weeks because we all mourn the loss of people differently and in our own time. And, you know, I find myself at times just very sad that she's gone.
Right.
So it's been interesting and hard.
What's your very first memory of Jean when you know, first time meeting her?
Oh, God. Well, that was so long ago, but I'm going to try to. All I can remember, first of all, you know, what everybody was saying about her is true. You know, she really listened to you, and she and I would joke a lot, but it was all like nobody knew what we were talking about kind of joke. Like, if she didn't like something, she'd turn to me and go, can you believe that? She'd make a wisecrack to me, and I was thinking the same thing. So we were kind
mm-hmm.
of on this weird same wavelength. But I remember interviewing her. You know, my relationship with her goes back to the days when I, like, produced Daytime Emmy AIDS benefits, and I would get all the stars to come to the shows. And I think that is when I first met her. And but I didn't know her that intimately then. When I started to work for Sony and created Soap City, then Jean and I became very close. And I remember I had never gone to the set to interview her. And the day I did, it was with her and Jeff Walton. And so she brought her dressing room was like you heard. I mean, people were coming in and out. It was always a party. You know, she'd stop everything for a fan. But it was so great. Like, we just laughed and giggled, and I would sit on the floor. I literally, like, the two of them sat on the couch. I sat on the floor. And
mm-hmm.
and we howled and laughed and had an amazing interview. And I just remember thinking that she was just incredibly funny and so alive, and she was really not Catherine Chancellor in so many ways of, like, the wealthy Catherine Chancellor attitude part of it, but in many ways, of course, she was. But she was always there for me. She was always there for apparently everybody, as you listen to the broadcast today on CBS, but she was always there for me. She was always there for me when I had some very difficult times, and we would talk over the phone, and we shared each other's, we talked about things that happened in both our lives to each other. I mean, to imagine becoming a friend of Jean Cooper's was never something I even imagined. I just thought, you know, I was a journalist, and she was one of the many great people I admired and always wanted to know. But I had the privilege of being her friend, and when I did that last interview that I posted on my site, that was that weird Skype interview where we were split screen, and she
mm-hmm.
was in New York at HarperCollins promoting Not Young, Still Restless, and I was literally in my office. It was the worst looking interview ever. It couldn't have been the worst sounding thing ever. And I'm like, I was so upset, and I'm like, this is the worst piece of crap. However, looking back on it now, I pushed for that. Jean wanted me to do it with her. I wanted it to be, if I'm going to do her memoir, if I'm going to do an interview about her memoir and her life story, I want to be the one to do it right. And unfortunately, it looked like that because of kind of how she was in New York and I wasn't with her. But the content of that interview, if you listen to the 53 minutes, it's that long, it really talked about our relationship in it. I mean, she talked about our friendship and how long we've known each other and what we've been through, and we never really even shared that publicly. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I ran around going, I'm a friend of Jean Cooper. Like, I didn't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But she talked about it in that, and in that interview, I know I made her cry, which I hated doing, but I did. You know, we laughed, we cried. She told me, talked about her life, and she was extremely special. A very special lady that cannot ever be replaced. There'll never be another one like her. She is everything everybody talks about, that everything says about her is true. I mean, it's true. Certainly, I can vouch for that. That's what I'm saying. And I had a very unique perspective from being a journalist but also being a friend. So when I would interview her, I would learn about her life and talk about her life, and she was so intriguing, and she always had something to say, and she was so funny, and she'd always call it like it is. And on the other hand, we could talk about, like, okay, I'm having back surgery, or whatever it was, we would share it. We would talk about it.
Well, you know, that's amazing.
I don't even know if that answered your original question, but that's
it's okay. It's amazing because I love hearing all the different stories of, you know, stories that we don't know about unless you guys step forward and tell us about them. Because, you know, we only know what we read or what you put out on an interview, whether it be on Blog Talk or wherever, and Skype, and what we see on TV. So it's wonderful to be able to talk to so many different people that actually knew her in person and be able to share these different stories with us.
Did you read what I wrote when she died? I wrote, like, a little thing about what she meant to me and what she meant. I don't know if you read that on Michael Fairman on Your Own Soap, but the one story that kind of sums up to me kind of how I felt about her and how comfortable I was with her was I don't know if you know this, but back in, I want to think it's 1999, I produced the Young and the Restless 25th anniversary live streaming event on the web for Soap City, and it was the 25th anniversary of the show. And
wow.
I said, you know, I'm going to make gold medals for them. So I went and got all these gold medals, Olympic gold. It was an Olympic year or something, so I got Olympic gold medals, and they were inscribed, and I gave it out to them. We did a big party. And Sony spent a lot of money, and it was a big event. And I was hosting it on camera, and we would have a backdrop where all the stars would come in and sit. And I found out that day that they weren't renewing my contract, the day I had to go live on this internet broadcast, that I was no longer going to be at Soap City. So I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You're telling me this in the morning that I have to go on camera and do this thing for the joy? And so there was no mercy there, okay? Long story short, now I have to figure out a way, how do I get out of this? Like, I'm Soap City Michael, and I've got to tell everyone live that this is it. I'm done. I'm not coming back. And I'm like, what do I do? So I waited, you know, and I'm interviewing different people through the show. So I waited till Gene was with me because I knew if Gene was with me, I could get through it. So I looked in the camera and said, I have something to say. I'm signing off of Soap City Michael. And Gene went, what, you know. She was like, what's going on? And she was holding my hand. She was, what is this? I can't believe this is happening. What? And so then she goes, Christian, Peter, Michelle, get over here. So all of a sudden, Christian, LeBlanc, Peter, Bergman, and Michelle Stafford surround me. And now they're all sitting with me, with her holding my hand, and I'm saying goodbye. I could not have done that. I am telling you to this day to do something that awful if she wasn't sitting there holding my hand. And I knew if she was sitting there holding my hand, I could do it because she was always there. And that is the story I can always say about her. It was a terrible point, and she made it okay. You know, and that's what she did.
I love that. Thank you, Michael.
You're so
lovely.
You know, that's the only thing I can sum up in a short way, like how she's present for everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And
the only
other thing I can be of interest to share is, you know, when Doug was talking about her winning the Daytime Emmy, you know, we all wanted her to win the Emmy for so many years, and she kept losing. She never would win. And it was like, you got to be kidding. So the year she won, of course, I was in the press room covering the event, not in the live audience. So when it's time for this category, you know, there's a monitor in the press room and everyone's talking over it and you're like, shut up, I want to hear the show. Because we want to hear what's happening on the show. Meanwhile, everybody's making noise and, you know, well, nothing's happening. So everybody's like, shut up, you know, so we could hear the lead actress category. And so the minute it was Gene Cooper, I mean, the place erupted in the press room. You seldom see that happen. People are like, clap, 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 okay. Now, they erupted. She came in. Everybody was standing up for her. There was so much cheer. There was so much love. And I don't believe that would have happened for anybody but her. I don't. Now, Susan Lucci, you could say, well, that's a whole other thing, because that was like she lost 19 times, you know, so many times, 18 times. But
right.
Other than that, I think you would never have seen that for anybody else but for her, that she was that loved, that people gave her, that people stopped everything. And everybody wanted her to win that year. Let's say even if she had, I think at that point, even if she had the worst reel, everybody would want her to win. They just wanted her to win, you know, for her recognition for all her amazing work, you know.
I'm just surprised it took so long.
Yeah.
Yep.
Me too.
No, because she was a phenomenal actress. I mean, she was spot on with everything that she did, and to help the others that came in, you know, after her, to help them and learn how to do acting is just, oh my gosh, I don't know, I'm just emotional. But we also have George Guzman, and I would say he knew Jeannie pretty well. George, are you with us?
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, George.
Hi,
George.
Hi.
So, did you just finish working?
I'm sorry, I'm stuck in traffic. Yeah, I just wrapped on a different show. I feel like a traitor because I wasn't even at YNR today, but yeah, it was an emotional day. I haven't yet seen the tribute, but I was there for the actual taping, and it was really emotional, so I'm sure, you know, I'm sure it's going to be good.
You're going to let George get, yes. I mean, I cried at the very beginning, so that's how.
Yeah, Patty and I were sobbing. I mean, at the end of it, we were just sobbing, and it was just so, it's hard to believe because you go through waves of realizing she's not there, you know, and you go past 41C, which is her dressing room, and, you know, I would always peek in and bug her, or, you know, we'd fight like cat and dog. So yeah, it's really strange. It's strange.
Well, George, you know, everybody that's called in tonight from YNR has been sharing their fondest memories and how they first met Jeannie and what that was like, and share your story with us, if you will.
Well, when Patty told me that I was next to bat to do Jeannie's hair, I was like, are you kidding me? I don't want to do her hair. And the girl who was doing it, you know, practically ran away screaming. So I went in there, and Jeannie's the type of person when she deals with you, when hair, makeup, wardrobe, body makeup, it's really intimate. You get to know this person whether you want to or not. You're going to get to know them. So right away, she looked at me, and she was like, okay. And the last thing you ever want to do is be timid or be cowered down to her, because she would have eaten you alive. So, she had a smart remark for everything. So I was like, oh, okay, it's that kind of thing. So it got, you know, I just knew right away that, okay, it was that kind of relationship where she could call me a name and I can call her a name. But it's all done in love and in jest, and, you know, we would both go to bat for one another, so to speak. So, you know, that was Gene and I, you know, I would say, are you ready to get your hair done? Because I was the first one to see her in the morning. And I would pound on the makeup door, on her dressing room door really hard, and I'd scream, hair department. And she'd be like, you scared the shit out of me. And, you know, I lived for that. I loved it. And then, get in here, you little shit. And so I said, I get in there and I do her hair. You know, that's the Gene I know. I mean, she was classy, elegant, everything that everyone says. She's just a love bug. But I knew the Jeannie Cooper, and that was the sad part. Patty and I we watched the decline, and it was breaking our heart because I was like, this is not who we know. This is not, you know. When she always had something to say. she'd look at me and she'd say, "You got another damn tattoo." And I'm like, "Hey." You know, and I had to try to hide them from her because she hated them. But she was, a great lady. Like when we were doing the Emmys in Vegas, she put Patty and I up in a suite across from her so that her hair and makeup was checked. You didn't have to worry about it. And that happened several times. We didn't have to pay for room in Vegas. You know, she covered that. She was, and then she actually had us go with her in the limo, do the red carpet, and we left her at the red carpet because the guy was like, "Okay, you guys go this way, Gene, you go this way." Well, when we got on the other end of the carpet, she's like, "Where the hell did you go?" And we're like, "Well, we were scooted off. We couldn't walk down there with you." And she's like, "Well, why the hell did I bring you then?" Gene was something else. But a lot of fun. A lot of fun. It's very interesting to see. Like I tell Patty, I was talking to her the other day, and I'm like, it's just so weird that she's gone. I was driving over to the canyon, and I drove past her house, and I was like, "Bye, Jeannie." And I just realized, she's not there. So it's going to take some time, but, her laughter and her memories and clearly proven by all these countless people who she's touched in her life, it's I have to actually go up to her memorial this Saturday. That they're having a private one. It's going to be hard to go to her house because I used to go to her house. She'd call me up and she'd want me to do her hair for an appearance if Gino, her regular hairdresser, could do it. And she'd say, "Hey, can you come over?" And I'm like, "Okay, I'm coming." You don't tell Jeannie no. But she was always really sweet. And when you went into Jeannie's house, it was like walking into your grandma's house. You could go into the cupboard. You can get yourself something to drink. You could get whatever there was to eat. She didn't care. You just go through there. It was such a comfortable vibe.
Well, in hindsight now, we've all seen the infamous final scene, and I think now that we know, the behind-the-scenes story about her decline and Corbin has kept us so well-informed. You can't help but watch that last scene and know now that, beyond the acting was, this woman who was struggling, with this physical ailment. And that last day that you had the opportunity to, to style her hair and, what was that like for you? As you look back on it now and you, like everyone else, knows, that was her final scene. What does it feel like for you now in terms of thinking about that?
Well, Patty and I both, Patty, Kathy, and I, the three of us, we kind of watched, and we would always watch her because we knew her. We knew when she wasn't feeling well, when she was just taking it for the team, and we knew when she shouldn't go on. And Patty would call the producers and say she's not. But, overall, she was a trooper, and I don't know that, when that day I saw her, I just thought, she didn't feel well. She was kind of down. It was also, we were celebrating the 40th anniversary. And so her makeup, she wasn't supposed to have makeup because she was in the scene, as you saw. She'd just come home from the hospital. Her hair wasn't supposed to be exactly right so that it worked. But she also took photos that way, and Patty was like, "God, I didn't have any makeup on her." And I'm like, but it was, she was working. You couldn't have, producers would have said, "Why does she have makeup on?" So were there things that I saw? There were things, but, she would snap back. Jeannie was a fighter. You would see her 1 minute and her stomach hurt or something, and the next minute she was ready to go. Mrs. Chancellor was ready to do it. And, that's just the kind of woman she was. She was awesome.
Well, we hear that you guys now have her in the makeup room, that life-size poster of her. You have it in the makeup room now?
Yeah, yeah, we do. We Patty and I were like, that belongs in the room because it's just a tribute to her. You know, mm-hmm. everyone comes in that room.
Yeah.
Tourists come in that room. She deserves to be honored in that room because some of the actors wanted to carry her from room to room. I'm like, she's going to get, that thing's going to get tattered. It's going to get
right.
more. It's better that it be where everyone can appreciate her. And she used to talk to her in the morning. She'd get in the makeup chair and she'd look in the mirror and she'd go, "How you doing, Jean? You're looking good today." And I would be like, "Oh, okay." But yeah, she's something else. I used to take her. She used to come in and she'd wear a hanky in her hair, you know, like a little whatever. I'd take it off her head and I'd wrap it in my hair and I'd start to do her hair. And she just bat an eye. She just gets hockey. She'd just look at me like, whatever, just do my hair. Or I'd put jewelry on for the day. But that was our friendship. I mean, there's no one like her. Like, I'm close with Christian and Michelle, but there's no one like that that I can just, you know. One day I had to go touch her up. It was lunch and she was sleeping and I had to go and check her hair that she didn't smash it. And she was laying down on the couch and I was sleepy. So I said, scoot over, let me lay on the couch with you. So there's a picture of us and took of us laying on the couch together sleeping, but I was really sleepy. But anyway, that I posted that for you guys.
So you actually got to lay with her?
God, yeah. I made her move over. I'm like, look, I don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. Scoot over. We have 5 minutes of good nap time. And there's a picture of us, but, you know, we're just goofing around.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's so much fun. She was so much fun.
Oh.
And
I
no
know.
Doubt you have endless stories, you know, of every day in the chair. I'm sure it was something
oh,
different.
Oh, God. Between Patty and I, we could tell you Jeanne's stories. Jeanne would announce her coming from Laurel Canyon. And we would all be like, ugh. And then I'd have to go and I'd take her a cup of coffee and the rundown of the day, and pound on the door and scare her, and then set her hair. Patty would do her makeup, and then I'd go back and comb her out. And, you know, Jeanne had a thing that she didn't want to get in the chair, in the hair chair. She would stall. And if she knew I was in a hurry, she would kind of just be like, you know, she just kind of lollygag around. And I'm like, Jean? But I couldn't tell her I'm in a hurry because then she'd really slow down.
Yeah.
So I was just like, hey, whenever you're ready. And we did her hair and makeup in her room. Everyone else got done in the makeup room. She got
That's so
she got
funny.
That.
What a prankster.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Well,
and thank you guys so much for the tribute. This is awesome that you guys are doing this for her.
Oh, you're so welcome. I've got one question for you. In the final scenes of her last day on air, you know, her makeup, she didn't have on a lot of makeup that day. Was that part of the script, or was that something she requested?
That was written.
Wow.
That she was supposed, because she was just coming home from the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and it was written that she should not be completely put together. She should still look, you know, like she just was released. She was going to be in full drag when they get out of hospital.
Yeah.
So her hair was kind of done, but it was still supposed to be askew, and makeup was supposed to be very minimal. So yeah, okay. that's what you guys saw was, you know. But it was,
yeah.
I mean, it was amazing how that all came to be, you know. But she would get on a story, about something, or she would talk about Hollywood in its heyday, and she would tell me these things, and I would get lost in this stuff. Like, you know, back in the good days, and she would tell me about, and I'd be like, wow, that's wild, you know. Just amazing to hear stories back in those days.
Well, I must say that those final scenes with her, even the storyline, I mean, it was just kind of all, it just fit, even though none of us knew that, you know, this was going to be it for her. But in some way, maybe she did. And I think the way...
Oh, I think the universe maybe just put that because I think everything happens and is for a reason. I just, that's my approach to life, and I think maybe you're right. Maybe.
Yeah. So it could, you know, it was scripted and it was written, but it just played out perfectly. And I'm so glad that, you know, the fans, the viewers, the cast, the crew, they all have that last scene of her, you know, giving that iconic goodbye and the walk up the stairs. I mean, it just, I don't know that it could have been any more fitting. It was just so perfect.
Yes, and that to be her final swan song for her entire career, because she worked all those years. Whoever was honored enough to watch it, to see it, to be a part of it, of that final, I mean, she had an epic career, and it just ended so brilliantly on camera, you know?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Well, George, I could listen to you for hours and hours on it, because so many stories. I mean, the hairdresser and the makeup artist, they always get the stories, right?
Yeah, they get the juicy stuff.
It's kind of like the bartender at the bar, you know, you're serving them up and you're getting all the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like one time she brought in her hairdresser to show me how to do her hair, and I'm sitting there. I told Patty, I go, really? I got to sit and watch some other person do her hair? He's like, listen, I got to get a makeup lesson from him, too. And I'm like, I'm going to kill her. I'm just going to kill her. So I was there while this guy had to show me how to do a blow dry. And I'm like, okay, wonderful. Yay. You know, and I did it for Jeannie. I did it. No one else would do that. Only Jeannie. I'd sit there and let this guy tell me how to do her hair. I'm like, okay, got it.
Anybody else, it would have been highly insulting with Jeannie. It was
hell
just,
yeah,
you know, okay, whatever you want. You know.
It was so
but
funny.
Now, you know, that's a beautiful memory that you'll have forever, you know. And
yeah. I have so many. You're right. Absolutely.
Now, I have Casey on the phone. Casey, say hi to George.
Hi, George. It's Casey.
Hi, Casey. And how are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm tired, but I'm good.
I know you are. I know you are. Well, I just wanted to, you know, Jeannie Cooper was such a special person to all the fans. And I just wanted to share one little story about the only time that I got to meet her. And it was right after I moved to L.A. from Chicago, and I had been here about 3 weeks and was at Bristol Farms in Hollywood. And had my little shopping cart. It's a tiny store, and I had my little shopping cart, and I was going down the little small aisles, and have been a fan since literally day one. And I look up, and who is right there? Her cart is matching my cart in the aisle, but Jeannie Cooper. And I looked up, and it was just such a surreal moment, because I was thinking, okay, I'm in this grocery store, and there's Miss Chancellor, right? And I try to keep all my cool points, you know, and not be, like, slathering over this woman, you know. Mm-hmm. But the very first thing out of my mouth was, you know, and I just kind of gasped for a minute, and I said, oh, hi. You know, I said, it's you. It's Miss Chancellor. And she kind of laughed, and she said, what's your name? And I told her, I said, oh, I mean Jeannie Cooper. And she says, you can call me whatever you want to. And so we had a nice little talk. She asked me where I was from. I told her I just moved here from Chicago, and she was so very kind. And I was telling her about all my aunts and how they love her. And so I said, my one aunt, she's just going to die. Now, this is before the iPhones and stuff. And so she said, do you have a cell phone with you? And I said, yeah. And she says, dial her up. And so we dialed my aunt in Milwaukee, and my Aunt Ada, and she answered the phone. Jeannie actually got on the phone with my Aunt Ada, and my aunt couldn't believe it. She just kept going, you've got to be kidding me. I am talking to Miss Chancellor. And it was just such a cute moment, and she was so kind and talked to me for a good little while. And then right when she was leaving out of the store, she turned around and kind of gave me a great wave. And it was just a really nice moment. I think it's a great way of thinking about how much she cares about her people and about her fans, and she was just so genuine. She spent a good 25 minutes when I know she was probably tired. It was the end of the day, and she just gave it all to me, and I never will forget that.
Oh, my gosh. What a great
memory.
Yeah.
That's a nice story.
Yeah. So, and George, you know, I love you. And and so I just wanted to call and support and then just to share that great story of who
that's
I think
great.
She is.
Thank
you
so
much, Casey.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yay, Casey.
George, thanks for taking time out to call
thank
in and
you.
Share your stories. I think you need to write a book because, you know what, we'd buy it.
Yeah,
I'd buy it. I'd buy it, George.
Oh, yeah.
You and Patty get together
Patty.
And do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Patty's got the I'm only like the a little portion. Patty's got the whole tamale or whatever you want to call it. But thank you so much both for having me on the show. And I want the fans to know one thing: Jeannie loved her fans. She really loved them.
Thank you, George.
Okay,
we appreciate that.
Thank you, George.
Take
You're
care
awesome.
Of yourself and be careful driving, okay?
I know. I'm stuck on the
be
5
safe.
Freeway. Okay. Bye, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, boy.
I think that, Don, I think you're going to play a couple clips right now for them from the interview as well.
Oh, yeah.
While we wait for our last guest to call in.
And I must say, Pam, this was a great idea. I'm so glad that you decided to do this. I mean, I know at the outset you said you were going to do this, but wow, it's just so far it's just been a phenomenal evening, and I know the fans are loving the fact, you know, that it aired the same day as the tribute. So thank you. I mean, and especially thank you that you felt horrible for the last few days and you've been under the weather. I know it's been...
Yeah.
You know, emotionally tough, but tough because you're sick.
Oh, I know.
So,
thank you. But thank you guys for doing
there.
It with me, too. I mean, you know, we all had the same idea about doing it, so, you know, wasn't going to do it without you. But thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome.
So while we're waiting for our final call, our guest to call in, I wanted to play a few more clips from our interview that we did with her back in December. And this one up next is where she is talking about Corbin. Take a listen.
Oh. I know my son, Corbin, who is also an actor.
Yeah, a very good one at that.
Thank you very much. I have to agree with you 100%. I just think he's...
I knew you would.
What are you going to say? I think your son sucks. No, God love him. He's found himself, and he's, as he said to me not too long ago, it was funny, he came up and just sat down and sprawled out and said, "You know what, Mom? I'm comfortable in my own skin for the first time." And isn't that great?
Wow.
I said, "Thank God you got it before you died." You know, most people at the last minute say, "I confess, I am bad." I said, "Now you can enjoy life.
Right.
You can enjoy life. No great expectations."
Right.
Yeah. You know, and anyway, what in the hell was I going to say? See what you did. You had to go and say Corbin was a good actor, and that got me right there. Oh, God. Oh, well, the senior moment, I guess I say. It'll come out sooner, lady. Maybe.
You know,
it's so hard not to laugh when it's playing because I just I rehear everything in my head again, you know.
I know. Well, and the other thing is, as I was kind of doing these edits of these various clips today, and I came to that part in the interview, I had to just stop and put it on pause because I think all of us in recent weeks, since all this happened, you know, Corbin has come to mean so much to each and every one of us as well, just because he's become very personal to all of us, the way he has kept us updated, and he's been so candid about, you know, his mom and the illness and his feelings and his innermost thoughts and just has been so open. And then to hear her talk about him and that today, it's interesting to listen to this interview now as opposed to when we first did it or right after it aired. And knowing she's not with us, and we've seen a side of Corbin we've never seen until now, and it's it just is so different to listen to that. You could tell the profound love and respect that they have for each other. And in that clip today, it was just like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to stop this for a moment and just gather myself. But she, you know, that is just another clip of how funny she was. We would be talking seriously for a moment, and then she'd just go somewhere, and we'd be cracking up. So,
I know.
I wish I was with you guys when you did the interview.
Oh, David, it is something I will never forget that as long as I live. And you know, the fact that it's so much more meaningful now, as exciting and unbelievable as it was at the time that we did it, to have that now, that memory of that time with her, it's just like, wow, you know. It's just mind-blowing. It really is. Now, I've got another clip I want to play, and this is pretty funny. This is a funny story. Pam, I'm going to play the clip where she talks about the cell phone in the restaurant. Do you remember that?
Yes.
The fans will love this. Okay, this is classic Jeannie Cooper. I think you will enjoy this clip. In this clip, as I just said, she talks to Pam and I about something she's very proud of. And take a listen.
Mm-hmm.
I did something I've never done before, and it gave me great. I won't name the restaurant we were at, but we're at the restaurant, and this family was that we're having dinner, and of course, and they're talking, what have you, and this two kids, they're on this. The waiter came over, and some of the food kept going back and back and back because the kids were never satisfied with whatever it was. It wasn't done enough, or it was too done, or this, and in the meantime, on their cell phones all the time. And I went over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. The other line. I went over. I took the cell phones out of their hands. And the first, the people were just, dumbfounded that I would do such a thing. I gave it to them, assuming that it was the mothers and fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know about you people. The other line, please. The other line. Okay, there's so many lines and so many phones in this house.
It's okay.
I feel like the Edison Company. Anyway, I said, it may not disturb you, but it disturbs my dinner. And at these prices, I don't like to be disturbed. And these kids just looked at me. And the woman... He looked at me, but the husband said, I'm so glad somebody finally did that. It was amazing. I couldn't stand it because the kids never looked up to the waiter or waitress. They just looked at food. And I thought, you know, there's no conversation anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I watched the rudeness go as long as I could. If it was one of my grandkids, I want to tell you, their heads would have been upside the wall. And they know that.
Yeah.
They know that. You know, that's one of the rules. Go out to dinner,
right.
You either leave those things at home or don't pick them up.
Right.
And nothing
that's
right.
Good rule.
Oh, yeah.
Very good rule. And I guarantee you they will always think about that every time. That from that point forward, I'm sure they thought about that every time.
Every time. Every time they go out to dinner.
Probably every time in general, too, I would say. You know, just consciously aware. So.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's such a shame that you have to shock someone into knowing the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that is amazing. The art of conversation. The art of conversation is almost lost.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, pray God that nobody loses their thumbs. They wouldn't be able to talk to one another. Constantly pounding out the keys on their...
All right. I pray to God no one loses their thumb. They wouldn't be able to talk to each other. That's just, you know. But it's just
that's
the
funny.
Amazing. What was amazing to me is as she tells these stories, you know, there's always, I mean, you and I both agree, Pam, that we could sit and talk for hours to this lady. And just, she always had an incredible amount of wisdom in everything that she said. A woman who had lived it and knew. And you never took it as, like, sound advice. You just took it as, it was just the way she presented it. It just made you want to go do it, you know. no advice needed. But that was the funniest story. And all I could think when she was telling that story about going over to the table and taking cell phones, you know, all I could think was, wow, you know, here are these people, if they knew who she was. Oh, Jeannie Cooper, could you imagine the stories they went back and told their friends and family? Miss Chancellor took my cell phone at dinner last night. I mean, my gosh, that would be just hilarious, you know. But, yeah, I mean, so many great clips from that interview, and that was just one of the funny highlights. Now, here's one I want to play, and this is one that she talks about, Jess Walton. Take a listen.
I'm Jess. Of course, I'll share a lot of things with her, but she's so neurotic. She doesn't know what she's doing half the time. I love her to death. She's gone off to Oregon now and is living on 10 acres, and she's learning to ride a horse. And I thought, that's the scene I'll never forget. I said, you're riding a horse, uh-huh. Well, okay, you're going to that party. You know, she's at an age, and she said, I just have to find out who I am. I said, you won't like it when you find out, Jess. Don't do it.
Now, you know what? That almost sounds like something Ms. Chancellor would say to Jill in a heartbeat. You know,
Exactly. Isn't that the truth?
It would be a little bit more catty, but, you know, it would definitely, well, she would get her point across. And
listen, ladies. Listen, I taught Catherine everything she knows.
There you go. I love that. I call her everything I know. That's great.
A couple of times she's bounced back on me.
Yeah. I think from that interview, that was my favorite line of that entire interview, was where she said, listen, ladies, I taught Catherine Chancellor everything she knows. And when you hear, you know, when you see in Corbin's post so many times now since her passing, even when she was sick, talking about how, you know, she never played a character. She was the character. She was real, and I think that is so evident, you know, in the number of years that we saw online, or but even in the final scenes. I mean, I just felt a sense that it was not acting. You know, it was just part of it. And but yeah, and then what she had to say about Jess Walton was just, it was just so fitting. It just kind of mirrored the whole Jill Mrs. Chancellor dynamic. And and of course, it was all in great fun, and it was just funny that everything that she said, you just felt like she would say, or she had said to the person she was speaking of. It was just incredibly, incredibly hilarious, and so much. So I'm going to play another clip for you. Let's see, which one do we want? I don't know, there's so many good clips. Well, I think I'll play the one about where she talks about her three children. Take a listen.
If Corbin decided to write a book write a movie about your book, would you want him to do that?
He could do anything he wants.
Yeah, anything he wants. Okay.
You know, at this, I was totally truthful. Anybody want to make anything out of it, be my guest, you know.
Yeah.
But Corbin, I would have to say to him, don't get Hollywood and make up a lot of stuff to just pad it. Otherwise,
right,
trouble.
Right.
And knowing Corbin, he would threaten to do it.
Yeah.
The two of us get along very, very well. My other son, Colin, came out with, in fact, Christmas Night is crazy, the stud buddy, the detector. It's a magnet detector of walls and things like that. One of the best. He's so busy with that, and he almost started to have a career, and he doesn't like acting, and not a lot of people who are in it, so, because everyone is always, you know, full of it. You know, somebody can be desperate for a job, and they go to a party, and what have you been doing? Like, well, I've got these things in mind. I'm waiting on this one film, and that, when they haven't got anything in mind. I think it's the pumped up kind of ego that he doesn't like about certain people in the industry. So, in the meantime, my daughter runs Pacific Studios, which has to do with all of the backdrops and things that when you see the scenes, it'll open the window and you look outside and see a snowy meadow. It's probably one of her big backdrops because it's it's all over there in all of the filmmaking and what have you. They service that and make backdrops for certain shows. I know I was doing Touched by an
They're
Angel.
They're all creative, that's for sure.
I was doing Touched by an Angel and I was the Della Reese thing some time ago up in Utah. And I'm looking out of my, I lost all my marbles, so I'm, you know, swatting at flies that aren't doing things like that. And I walk to the window, and I look out, and I have to stay in character, but inside I'm saying to myself, God, this scene looks familiar. Huh, well, you know. Oh, well, I'll think about it. It wasn't until we were shooting one of our scenes in the winter scenes, and I'm at the Newman Ranch, and I'm talking to Nikki, and I walk to the window saying something, you look out, and there it is. It's the Newman. At the Newman lower, the Newman's lower 358 acres. when the trees are open. And I just, my mind just flashed back to Della Street, and I almost wanted to laugh.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Like, you know, connecting the dots there.
Oh, is that hysterical?
Yeah.
Y&R reaches new heights. It goes anywhere.
Oh, my gosh. The stories this woman told and just her epiphany moment in the midst of filming on Y&R. And, oh, my gosh, just too funny. I believe our last guest is on right now. Let's take a quick check. Hello. Well, hello, Michael Damian. How are you?
Hey, guys.
How are you doing?
Hi.
How are you doing, Michael?
Did you guys just join
me? Good.
Oh, good. Thank you for doing this tribute to Jeannie. I just it warms my heart that you guys are doing something so thoughtful. And I know that Jeannie loves this and is in heaven, you know, listening right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, especially with Dawn playing the clips, I mean, it just brings it all back, and then watching the Y&R tribute today and having all of you take the time out to call in and share your special memories and laughs, and it's just, we can't thank all of you enough.
It's great to have you.
Yeah, it's a sad, it's a bittersweet day, you know, you guys celebrating her life is really, it's really inspiring. It really is, and we have to remember all the, you know, all the wonderful things and how lucky we are to have had her for all those years, and you know, and she was gifted with a lot of wonderful talents, and she shared them with the world and right to the end. So we have a lot to be thankful for.
Oh, yes, we do. And Michael, everyone that's called in this evening has been sharing their fondest memories and how they first met Jeannie and what that was like. And share your story, if you will.
Well, I met Jeannie, you know, just day one. And I'll never forget because, you know, she was just very kind to me. I think it was up in hair and makeup. And she was just right away very sweet to me. And we started talking. And you know, I don't think I did immediate scenes with her because I'm not sure if she was married to Rex yet, who played my dad on the show. But we just hit it off, and she was just so kind and so sweet, and we had a great time. And I saw her every day or every other day in hair and makeup, and we always chatted and had coffee in the morning and just caught up on everything. And she was always asking about me and my records and on tour, and you know, just she was always. What's really wonderful about Jeannie is that Jeannie, you know, most people in this business tend to talk about themselves. Jeannie really just always asked you how you were doing and what you were working on, and you know, and how's your family, and how's your girlfriend, you know, Jeannie, at the time she was, you know, my girlfriend, and you know, I just always wanted to know how my family was, and she was very family oriented, and you could just tell right away. And you can see it also in when you read and see the things that Corbin has said about his mother. It's there's a lot of love there.
Absolutely.
Well, most definitely. I mean, I think whether you're a fan or you're a cast member or, you know, just any and everyone that's ever been touched by Jeannie Cooper, she has such an enormous way of just having this great impact on you and leaving her mark, so to speak. And it's never been more evident than now, you know.
She was bigger than life, and then you realize it, you know what I mean? It's amazing when you, we're going to miss her, I know, terribly. I mean, I don't think it's hit everyone yet, but I think it will, you know, it will later when you she was the Grande Dame of daytime television, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There was really nobody that was like her, and I can't think of anyone who was so dynamic, so endearing. For a strong woman, you know, playing a strong character, think about how likable she was. Most of the time, someone who plays a character like that doesn't tend to, you know, it doesn't become the favorite. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Remember how everybody loved to hate JR, you know what I mean?
Right.
Able to make this character so likable, even she was so strong and so, you know, she played hardball, you know what I mean? In her character. And it was really amazing. And that took a woman with a big heart, and there's certain qualities that the writers I know tapped into and were able to bring those qualities, the personal qualities of Jeannie Cooper, into the character, because that's what really good writers do. They see certain human qualities, and then they subtly put them into the characters, you know? That's why a lot of times people are, you know, sometimes they're very similar to the characters. Jeannie was just, what you see is what you got. She did not mess around and didn't, you know, she told you the way it was, whether you like it or not. But she was very sensitive. She never said, and I never heard her say an insulting word ever to anyone. Ever, over the 20, you know, years that I was at CBS. She was nice and kind to everyone.
Well, how many butt pinches did you get?
Pardon me? How many what?
How many butt pinches did you get from Jeannie?
Pinches?
Yep.
She pinched people's butts?
Come on, Michael. Fess up.
Whose butt did she pinch? She never pinched mine.
Oh no!
You got to remember, I played her stepson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stepson, right? I'd be her stepson. So it would have been weird if she had done that.
Oh yeah,
that's camera,
so
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You got
yep.
that right.
Plus, my butt is not my greatest asset. Get it? Boom, boom.
Well,
sorry, I had to go
today,
there. I didn't mean to go there, but you guys drove me into that into the toilet.
You did.
She didn't. She never did that. I don't even. I'm actually shocked hearing this. I didn't know anything about it. Who
well, just so you know, to your defense, you know, Danny Robolotti was always traveling the world touring, and you were never. You're never there long enough to get your butt pinched. How about that?
Yeah, that's right. I was always moving fast. I wore my body armor. I think we joked about this, and I'm not sure. I don't want to be repetitive, but we have to get it settled, because you remember Danny borrowed all that money from Mrs. Chancellor to make the music video on the show. But
right.
I don't recall paying her back. And I think that, you know what I mean? I think it's just cool that Danny did that. I mean, you know, that's my personal feelings on that. Because people have said,
here's what I think. I think that what they need to do is, as part of settling her estate, you know, Mrs. Chancellor's estate moving forward, that's just something that you need to settle. And they need to just bring Danny back onto Y&R. You know, write a storyline around it, quit and let's roll. I mean, you know, we can keep this going for a while.
You guys are so sweet. You've been harassing the poor CBS writers. The Young and the Restless writers, I see all the, I see the tweets and the emails you guys bombard them with. You're killing me. You're so funny. Thank you. You're very sweet.
Well, and speaking of YNR, earlier this evening, I saw a tweet you put out that went by that said that you and Patty Weaver and Quinn Redeker were all on the YNR set today.
Yes, we
filming
were.
Filming something for Jeannie Cooper. And so I'm like, wonder what that could be.
Well, the Romolotti family got together. CBS called me and said, you know, because, you know, scheduling and you were out of town when we shot the tribute and you know, how things work sometimes with that and you can't get everybody together in one room. But they just asked, and I said, I really want to do something for Jeannie. I want to do some, just, you know, have do something, some sort of memorial tribute. So they asked me to come in and, you know, would I be with Patty and Quinn, which of course I was thrilled, and just sit there in one of the, I can't remember, it was some new set, I've never seen it, and we sat and just told stories and just talked about what it was like knowing her, working with her, our crazy experiences, our crazy trips we took with Jeannie and different, you know, I mean, all the different adventures, and we talked for quite a while, so they're going to have that up on CBS.com and on Young and the Restless official site next week. And they're going to run a series of personal stories that people can share about, with, you know, their journeys with Jeannie Cooper. So I think it's really going to be a wonderful piece.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, I
that's
have
nice.
To ask, did you and Patty by chance sing during all of this filming today? Or can you let that cat out of the bag?
No, we didn't do any singing. This was really just, you know, it was really just us sitting there and just talking about our personal and, you know, wonderful memories and sharing them with all of you. And so, it was just a, you know, it wasn't a big hypey hoopla kind of thing. It was really just, you know, sitting down talking. And I really enjoyed it because I haven't had a chance to talk to Quinn or Patty. You know, and I didn't know a lot of these stories. So I heard them for the first time, and it was great to hear Quinn Redeker, who, you know, played her husband on Young and the Restless, his perspective, and Patty Weaver, you know, did a lot of scenes and spent a lot of time and did a lot of fun adventures, which you will hear about next week when you see it, because she told some pretty funny stories. I'm not sure what will make it onto the show, but... some really fun adventures, you know, and I think one of them might have had to do with Las Vegas, you know, so it was really great. It was all
well,
good.
And that's awesome. Now, have you actually seen the tribute that aired today?
You know, I have not, I've not been home, so I TiVo'd it, and I really wanted to actually watch it uninterrupted tonight without... I mean, without anything going on. So I just really, you know, Jeanette, I wanted to just sit and, you know, kind of spend some time together and watch it uninterrupted. So we were going to watch a bit about her. It's spectacular.
Well, I will tell you without giving anything away, it was one of the most touching things I have ever seen. And I thought that the cast just did a great job. I mean, I loved seeing everyone just as themselves, just sitting and chatting and reminiscing and sharing memories and stories. It was so personal and so intimate. And, you know, it was just, I think, a beautiful thing for the fans. So I'm glad that CBS called you and Patty and Quinn to come in and do something because, you know, you were a huge part. I mean, that storyline and era that when you guys were on YNR regularly was just such an important part of the whole Catherine Chancellor, you know, phenomenon as well. And it's only fitting that, and I hope they do that for more and more former cast that have been on the show, just for the fans. I think the fans need it as much as the family and as much as you guys do, you know?
Yes. I think you're right. And, you know, it was... Well, it's nice about today, and I haven't seen the tribute, but I know that they were on a really tight schedule to shoot everybody, and it was really, you know, a huge effort to get it all done and edited and put together in time, right? So this was a little more, I think, was a little more relaxed setting, and
mm-hmm.
we were able to, I think, go into more detailed stories, you know,
mm-hmm.
without a time element. So we'll see what they cut together, but it was really fun, and it was sad, and it was but it felt really good, and it felt really good talking about her and sharing these stories with Quinn and Patty today. It really made me feel good, and I felt her presence when we were talking today.
Oh yeah, and I think, you know, everyone else that has called in tonight, they said the same thing, that, you know, she was very much there. Not only today when the tribute aired, but the day that they were all filming, her spirit was very much with them. And no doubt, Jeannie is smiling down, you know, on all of you, you know, would want this. I mean, this was so Jeannie Cooper, you know, the way it was presented and the way it was done. It was, couldn't think of it being any less.
Yeah. As my dad would say, she was a class act. You know,
mm-hmm.
she really was.
Oh yeah,
she was a class act, and you know, I just I'm looking forward to watching the tribute tonight. But I hope you guys get the chance to see the stories we shot today, and it's pretty wild seeing the Roma Lotti family back together. That was a long time, you know. It was sort of surreal, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. I said
the pictures I put up.
Well, you know, the thing that I said today, and I made a prediction that today's show would probably be one of the highest rated all time episodes of Y&R, just because of what it was, and as I think it should be. But you know, I think about this too, Michael, it's like, I think of all the potential doors that could be opened that could bring, you know, like the Roma Lotti family back to Genoa City with a tremendous storyline. You know, the fact of this Chancellor's passing on the show, all the new things. I don't know where the writers are going to take any of this, but all the incredible possibilities that would allow the character to
mm-hmm.
live on in everyone's hearts and minds on the show as well as in real life. You know, just all the amazing things that can take place now, and hopefully they will utilize it in such a great way for the fans and for the cast alike. So that would just be awesome.
Well, you know, I was thinking, since they did the, you know, John Abbott is back as a ghost, I was thinking that Quinn Redeker, you know, because
mm-hmm.
he, unfortunately, you know, his character was killed in the show, but
sure.
I think that there could be something, you know, beautiful and magical, you know, with Quinn and Patty Weaver. I mean, that would be really sweet. I don't know what they have planned, but I think everyone just sort of has to sort of digest the whole, you know, Jeannie being gone, and I'm not sure how they're working it on the show. I haven't seen the show for a few days, so I don't know what I don't know how they can even react yet. It seems like it's got to be very difficult for the writers to figure this out.
I keep losing connection because we have such a bad storm right now, and there's all kinds of warnings going off, so if you lose me, you know what happened.
Okay,
well, it's really, I'm sorry if it's noisy. I'm actually have to step in. I've been kind of trying to find a not so noisy place to talk to you guys. Could you hear me at all? Is it better?
Oh yeah, it's been great.
Michael.
We've been hearing you just fine, Michael.
Okay, because there's a lot of chaos over here where I'm at.
Well, Michael, you know, it's been wonderful speaking with you, and we just want to say a huge thank you to you for taking time out of your schedule to you know, call in and share your thoughts about Jeannie and just, you know, your heart as well. It's just been great. It's always a pleasure talking with you anyway, so it's always a treat.
Oh, hey, thank you for putting this together, and that's really, really sweet. And let's keep her memory alive and just cherish all the wonderful years we've had with her, you know? So
yeah. Most definitely.
Yes.
Most definitely.
She's forever in
my
heart.
I'm sure she's taken over. I mean, I'm sure she's, you know, I hope my dad and Jeannie are, you know, getting together and having a chance to talk, and because I know he would say, boy, she's a class act. So we'll just keep our thoughts and prayers going for the family, because those are the ones. I'm sure Corbin Knight, I've read a few things that he said, and I know it must be very difficult for him. So my thoughts and prayers go out to Corbin and the whole family and all family members and the fans, because you guys are part of, you're the part of her family, you know? I feel like it's going to be very difficult for all of you. And I don't know if people realize that, but I do, because I know that people treat me like I'm kind of a family member with them, even to this day,
you
know?
Of course. Of course.
Mm-hmm. So,
and you are.
When you're in someone's living room every day for that many years, you're part of the family.
Exactly. Exactly. We're still waiting for our invitation for Thanksgiving dinner, but you're still part of the family.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't ever loan me any money, but besides that, I wish you would. But you know what I mean? I know it's difficult for all of you, and I'm thinking good thoughts and prayers for all of you as well, and just keep positive, okay?
Thank you. You too,
likewise,
Michael. And thanks,
Michael,
again for calling. Take care.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, you guys. Love you tons, gazillions. And we'll
and
talk
we
real soon,
love
okay?
you that much more. To infinity and beyond.
Love. It's from Mutual Love Society. You guys are the best. Okay, God bless.
Take care, Michael.
You too.
Michael.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Michael. Oh, my gosh. What a whirlwind of emotions and people to take the kindness out of their heart to call in with their busy schedules and to share this with us and everybody. It's just, my gosh, I can't be thankful enough.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I've got, before we wrap, because I know we've got a few minutes left, I wanted to play a couple of clips that I think are kind of a great way to sum up this evening. You know, in the words of Jeannie Cooper, and one of the clips that I want to play is where she talks a little bit about her book. So, Not Young, Still Restless. Here you go. The thing that I loved the most about your book was, as I was reading it, Jean, I felt like you were sitting in front of me telling your story.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
The personalization of the book was just incredible, and it was just so meaningful for me to just read it. You know, because it really did read like you were right there.
Everyone says.
Yeah, and as I was reading it, I realized how candid you were in writing the book, and when you were done and you read it, did you ever feel the need to edit it and not share all of the personal stories of your life that you did?
No, I have no regrets whatsoever not re-editing. I sat down, and that's what I was doing. I was talking. I was talking to people who, you know, got the book and they were reading it. I was talking to them. So there's nothing I would edit out, nothing. No.
You know, even there in that clip, she was just so candid about even the book, you know, and there was nothing she put in the book she didn't want people to know. She was pretty much an open book as an individual anyway. But just to, you know, just to hear her say no regrets, I mean, that just pretty much summed up Jeannie Cooper and who she was, no regrets. She lived with no regrets. You know, just amazing. This next clip is, she has a few reflections about some things. Take a listen.
Experience, a great trip. It really has, during the show, the people I've met, the things that I've been able to share, the things I've been able to help repair, and, you know, another problem that make me find answers, right, and keep me curious about life. And I think at this stage, at 84, I still am curious about a lot of things. I still see where I've done some good or where I've done some bad. But there's always the curiosity of life, because every stage of your life, there's something new that you can find out if you care to be curious enough.
Yes.
And not just what joint aches this morning, what what neck isn't moving to the right or the left is what is your right. Or why is it I can't stand up quite as fast as I used to without wanting to faint. But when you know that you've really put in your time on this planet, it's when one of your kids to you come and say, I woke up this morning, I have this, I don't know, it's like a kink in my back. And you look and you say, oh, my God, have you got a lot in store for you?
She is such a great woman of wisdom. I mean, the things that she said, but then, she's so serious, and then in midstream she just cracks up. She makes a joke hey, Jean, your body doesn't work quite like it used to, and it's just, she cracks you up. She pulls you in the moment. And, that's a clip. That's the perfect example of today as I was going through all this, and I came across that part of the interview, and I had to stop the audio because it was just so gut-wrenching to hear it now. Now that she's not with us, she's with us, but she's not here physically, and it's hard, to listen to her talk about life and the way she looked at it and just how she was curious. And when she said the part about, some things she'd done good, some things she'd done bad, and all I could think was she is not having any woes whatsoever now. I mean, she is just flying high, and that's what it kind of spoke to me now. It's funny how these clips say something completely different to me now coming from her than it did the day of the interview.
It's so true. It tells a whole different story all in its own.
Mm-hmm. And before we wrap, I've got one more clip that I think pretty much just sums up Jeannie Cooper, and this was at the tail end of our interview, Pam, and I think when you hear it, you'll go, oh, yeah. here we go.
Maybe one day we'll meet in person. That would be funnier. We'll have lunch.
That would be a dream come true. Yes, indeed.
That's on my bucket list. How's that?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, don't do that. Don't wait that long, for God's sake.
If you say so, that's affirmed. There we go.
Listen, I have a friend, Doc. Have a laugh a day. Do a good deed to someone. I don't care if it says, how are you to a stranger. They may look at you like you're nuts, but in the meantime, you've done your bit.
Exactly.
And enjoy life. That's what it's here for. You have to work for it, but that doesn't hurt.
The words that I heard on the tribute today and in that video you gave me last night, too, is basically, Jean saying, live until you die, and that's exactly what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And even in that clip, that last clip, that's her words of advice for
right.
how she lived, and that's how she, wanted everyone to live, or how she implored everyone to go out and live, and it's just funny hearing it now, after the fact, because even in this clip, she's still telling us, go live, smile every
right.
day, and say something nice and uplifting that's going to pick someone up, and, it's just, that's really what life is all about. It was for her, and I think she wants us to know that that's the way it should be for us as well.
Right, exactly. Well, my phone is telling me 90 seconds, so with that, I'm going to say sorry I didn't get to talk a lot, but between my voice and my head and the tornado sirens and everything else going off here, I want to thank Dawn for keeping it going and talking with everybody and getting those clips together, and David for joining us, even though we really didn't give him a chance to say a lot, but I know he just... Oh, here we go, 60 seconds. Thank you, everybody, for who joined us today. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless each and every one of you, and pay it forward for Jean. Don,
yep.
David, real quick.
Just a huge thank you to Doug Davison, Michael Damian, Laura Lee Bell,
mm-hmm.
George Guzman, Michael Fairman, Kate Linder, and thank you to everyone who joined us tonight. We appreciate it, and God bless all of you.
God bless
David.
All of you. God bless all of you who came on and shared their stories with us.
Yeah,
all
Vonda and Cassandra and Casey and everybody. Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks everybody. Have a good night. Be safe. If you're like me, I'm going to run in the basement. Have a good night,
right,
everybody.
Bye
bye.
Good night, everyone. Bye.
Bye.